Joanne, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Joanne? I can't hear you.
Okay, I'm unmuted now. Now you can hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes, so can I.
I'm muting everybody at the beginning, please.
Hello.
All right, Joe, do you have audio? Okay, so Joanne, what are we doing? Because I don't have an audio on Joe. Wait, let me unmute you. Right, go ahead, Joanne.
Well, from what I understand, Joe was trying to conduct this meeting from his car. Are you saying he's not being able to do it?
You have audio, Joe?
I do. Do you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Does Joe?
I don't know. He said he was going to try to conduct the meeting from the car.
He is there. You can see him in his car, but I'm not sure if he has audio.
Okay.
Joe, right, do you have audio?
Trustees.
Joe, do you have audio? Nope.
How do I mute this? Are we going to be able to hear them if I do it?
You're fine.
Do I have the right Mr. and Mrs. Bodo unmuted?
Do we have Cheryl Moore on board?
Yes.
Okay.
No, that's is that Cherie or Cheryl?
Cheryl.
Oh, no, that's Cherie that's on board.
I don't see Cheryl Moore yet.
Cherie doesn't usually come on there with a picture.
I don't see Cheryl yet.
Was there any indication that Cheryl wouldn't be at this meeting?
No, I have not heard anything. She might be trying to hook up.
Could someone in your office give her a call?
Yes, we'll do that right now.
Are we able to get Joe audio?
Okay, it's on.
Sounds like it.
Okay, good.
All right. Okay, so now we can come back. let me go get him.
Okay, Joe, say something, or Meredith, say something, please.
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Oh, good. Okay, let me go get him. All right.
Hold on, he's coming. Okay, he's coming.
Yeah, you better. Okay, so you're supposed to say something so you guys can get started.
Yeah, okay. It's what time is it?
It's time to go.
Okay, everybody can hear me?
Yes.
Okay. We're calling the meeting to order. It's 1:34. September 28th.
Can I please interrupt 1 minute? We called Cheryl Moore. I had to leave a message. Maybe she's trying to get on.
Okay. Yeah, because we'll need
her. Do the minutes.
I'll take the notes.
All right, thanks.
Okay, all right. See if you can get in touch with her, because if we add a new trustee,
we just tried.
Okay, all right, thank you. All right. Okay, so let's go ahead with the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag.
To the flag of the United States of America. And to the
Republic for which it stands,
one nation
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. One thing I wanted to bring up.
Need a roll call, Joe. You need a roll call.
I should follow the thing here. Sorry about it. Okay, who wants to do the roll call? Anybody? Me?
I'll do it. Joe Prisco.
Here.
Joanne Gagan. Here. Jack Emmerich.
Here.
Bob Shortledge.
Here.
He's muted.
Here.
He was Keith here.
Keith Richer.
Here.
Beverly.
Hello, Tobias. Here.
Barbara Whitnick, Cheryl Moore, Cherie Morris.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Joanne, I'm here.
Did I not call you?
No.
You missed
I'm sorry, Russ. Yes, I'm sorry, Russ Livermore. Yes, sorry, very
I'm
sorry.
I'm here.
Okay, so I didn't really have anything that much to say because we're going to actually discuss it along with all the issues that we're going through, unless any of the other trustees have something. When we go through the job descriptions, I had a couple of comments there, but we're going to go through that. If anybody else.
So let's go on with it, and if there's no announcements, go on with it.
Okay, so we'll go with the approval of the meetings of 9/14/2020.
I make a motion we approve the meeting, the minutes from 9/14/2020.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any discussion? We need discussion. Any discussion?
Anybody want to say anything about the minutes?
No.
Sorry.
Now we'll okay, ask
we need the motion so we can just go ahead and vote on it then. Any, we're going to do public comments now or at the end?
You should do them each time you have something.
Every okay. Joe, okay. Every time, right. Every time there is a motion and a second, the next thing you do is ask for public comments. Then you ask okay. The trustee comments. Hearing okay. None, you take a vote okay. Every time.
Okay, so we ask for trustee.
Okay, so you had a motion by Keith, second by Bob. If there was no public or trustee comments, then you need a motion. You need to take a vote.
So we got no public comment. I got a none. Okay, then I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 All those that disapprove, say no. No no's, so that's carried. The next thing, number eight, acceptance of Barbara Wicknett's resignation of seat number one. I have a motion to go ahead and accept that resignation, please.
So moved.
Okay.
I'll second.
I think, okay, all those in, I don't think we need to talk about that, but if there's any public comment or trustee comment, wait a few seconds here. Okay, no trustee comments, and I gather there's no public comment on her resignation. We'll just call for a vote to accept her resignation. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Anybody that doesn't want her to resign? There's none. Okay, so that goes through. That passed. We had a letter of interest. Hopefully everybody got to read it from Barbara's vacant position, seat number one. Is Cindy on? Unmute her if she's on. Is she on?
Yes.
She's on. Cindy, please unmute yourself.
Can you hear me? Yes, I can.
Cindy, did you want to say something to the trustees before we take a vote? I'm sure we've all read your letter.
The only thing is, I'm sorry to interrupt. The only thing is, Cheryl would have the swearing in, and she has to has to be done by the secretary. So, but okay. we should have discussion regarding, I think, Cindy's letter anyway.
Okay.
And a vote?
Well, I have just, is Cindy there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, hi, Cindy. The only thing I wanted to clarify was in the last sentence of your letter, I think you have a little misunderstanding as to the Sunshine Law when it comes to regarding the trustees. It's not that we can't communicate at all. I mean, if I saw you in the road, I could say hi and how are you? What we can't communicate amongst us is anything that we think may come up for a vote.
Okay.
Other than that, I can talk to you.
Okay.
And perhaps clarify something that's already been voted on. But yes. Just so you understand that part of this, so you don't get hoodwinked into thinking, oh, can't say that or whatever. I think your husband has a question.
Yes. So when you're talking about something coming up for a vote, if something is brought up at a meeting and it's tabled or under discussion, that can be discussed between the trustees?
No. No.
Only at a meeting.
No, because we believe it will come up for a vote later on. It's just been tabled, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Very difficult to work under those conditions, but that's what it is.
Just wanted to understand.
Sure.
Yeah, see, we can actually talk about things in the park, but as long as they're going to come up for a vote, that is a no-no. But we can talk about things in the park.
Okay.
I understand that.
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Now, so the only thing I could say to you, Joe, as chairman, is to ask to accept her as Cindy, I'm sorry, as but she would not be able to be sworn in today.
Right.
In order to participate in today's meeting.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
She can participate, just can't vote on anything as part of the board.
She's still
part of the resident.
Well, she's not been sworn in.
No, right. she can participate
as a resident, absolutely, but not as a board member.
That's right. Mangler just can't vote on anything or
correct.
That's when the board is up. Yeah.
Can't we actually take a motion, a second, and then vote on it?
I think we should vote to, so that at the next meeting she would be sworn in either by Cheryl or if we could get hold of the oath of office. I don't have one.
Or if Cheryl comes in a little later, we can stop.
She can do that later on, yes.
Joanne, I have one.
Oath of office.
I have an oath of office, Joanne.
It's supposed to be done by the secretary of the board of trustees, though.
Okay.
Sorry to get picky-une about that, but you're waiting one more. Well, you're waiting one more meeting. So I prefer that it be done properly.
Yes.
Very good, Joanne. The letter of the law.
Well, so far.
I agree.
There's a lot more to go.
Are we taking a vote?
First, a motion.
Well, where's the chairman of the board? Joe,
I'm right
there?
Here. So,
okay.
So, I'm here.
You want to call?
Go ahead with that. We have a motion. We have a motion to approve her for trustee.
We don't even have that. No, we don't have that.
Nope.
No. Oh, we don't have.
I make
a motion.
I make a motion that we admit Cindy. I'm not sure the last name to the board of trustees.
Okay. Last name.
Second
that. Who second that?
Jack.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll go ahead with a vote then. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone that disagree with her appointment to the board, say no. Okay, that's passed unanimously, so she'll be sworn in later today or at the next meeting.
Welcome.
Welcome, Cindy.
Welcome, Cindy.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. I think you'll make a good addition.
You will. We'll go with the district manager's report. Cherie, you going to go ahead and read that?
I'm here. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I have not heard back from Huntington National Bank regarding 437 Holiday Park Boulevard. The moratorium for foreclosures and evictions is supposed to end October 1st, 2020. I will keep the trustees informed on the progress. I have, as recent as this morning, again, tried contacting Huntington National to find out what the status is on the person that has been living there. Just to kind of update you real quick, the person's been living there since July of 2019. As of late, she's had no running water since February of 2020. Mm-hmm. Trying to act on this and be proactive with the bank, as again, it is in foreclosure. So as soon as I hear something, I will get back with the trustees. DCF found the case unfounded, therefore we really can't do anything in that regard. So it's kind of in the hands of Huntington National Bank.
Cherie, I'm sorry to interrupt, but when you say you've contacted, have you ever spoken to anyone at that bank?
What do you do?
You have?
I have, and they've turned me over to their management and real estate department, which is handling those types of issues. So far, the assessments are current. They do pay the assessments because basically they own the home. The POA, the children pretty much have given it full responsibility to the bank. They haven't paid the mortgage in over a year. So basically, again, it's in the hands of Huntington National. So I will be continuing to contact them. I'm sure they'll have something more to say once the moratorium is lifted. The FARBAR contracts for the purchase of the 9 Palm Bay owned homes have been signed and hand delivered to the city of Palm Bay. The bidding deadline is October 2nd. The city will contact the applicants no later than October 10th. The Pool Shore contract has been signed and sent to Chris CQ, who is the manager. The lead time for the equipment installation is 2 weeks. The arrows and signage at the entrance to the park will be repainted, and please forgive me, or excuse me, I put the wrong dates. It's going to be actually September 30th and October 1st, weather conditions permitting, between the hours of 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. Terry Steimer, a maintenance staff, and myself will be painting. We will be using floodlights. We are pricing the cost of a line striping machine to begin striping lines at all signs, stop signs, etc., throughout the community. The approximate cost is $2,000. The work will be done in-house. This will be done annually and as needed in high traffic areas. The LG at the rear pond has cleared up. The fountain is working with no problems. Lake doctors will be administering a one-time aquatic weed treatment at the drain areas, 15 to 20 inlets. This will be applied before the ditches are scheduled to be scraped. At present, staff has been clearing these by hand. The treatment will kill off most of the unwanted vegetation and make it more efficient when clearing the ditches. Acceptance level, 90%. Follow-up inspection and treatment, if required, 15 to 30 days total. The total treatment for all of these is $200. We are addressing the gates, grates on the roadways as well. We will be contacting the lawn company for assistance with these if possible. We have inspected as much as we can by looking into them. There are four which need to be pulled and cleared. We will be getting a price from the lawn care company for mulching of all the green spaces throughout the park, trimming, pruning of live oak, cabbage palm, and Australian palm trees as well. I have received two proposals from outside contractors, and I have included the bids with it, with your package.
Can I interrupt there?
Sure.
The mulching, why aren't we doing that in-house?
We can, but I'm getting bids just to see what the cost is. If they can do it and it's cost effective, I think that would be great. We can price it out both ways, by bulk, having it dumped at different areas in the park and distributing it ourselves. We're going to get a price both ways, Bob.
Right. That's great. That's exactly what I see. And I see you only have two proposals. Don't you think we should have three?
For the tree trimming?
Yes.
Absolutely. I'm waiting for the third.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would like to actually get the, get those RFPs for those as well.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's difficult. These, we have to teach them. We did pretty good in the other area, so we're going to continue on with that.
I would like to go back, as long as we're discussing them as we're reading them, I would like to go back to the striping machine. Since it's going to be done once a year, have we looked into renting one so we don't have to pay the maintenance and upkeep, and we know it works when we want to use it?
We could do that. I'm just thinking, though, if we had one, we could again, restripe whenever we needed to in the high traffic areas. But I certainly will look into that, Keith.
Because I mean, if it's something we'd use monthly, I could understand a little bit. But if we're going to use it once or annually, the machine sits, and I find it much better to rent things when you just use them sparsely.
The other thing is, we used to do it all the time. What did we use then? We didn't have a striping machine then?
I believe you did.
What happened to it?
I have no idea.
No, I agree with
that. By hand.
Okay, thank you.
I agree with Keith. Let's go out and see what it's going to cost for a rental.
Cherie, could we get an answer to that by midweek, please?
Sure, no problem. New bushes will be planted in front of the clubhouse. Flowers will be planted by the showers, gazebo, and entrance. Third week in October. This will take us close to the end of hurricane season. The gate committee may propose adding another roadway at the entrance to the park. This may entail removal of some of the podocarpus bushes. At this time, my recommendation is to wait to replace the old or add new bushes. We will be looking into replacing, adding plants, trees in the Holiday Park Boulevard roadway planters. I spoke to the manager of CVS regarding the moldy block wall in back of their store. She said we could use their water if we wanted to pressure wash it. She cannot get authorization from her corporate office to fund the labor. The gas tank in the grounds area was sold for $650. We did receive a cashier's check. I'm waiting for a new tire for the golf cart. We tried everywhere. We found a place on 192 Car Guys. I ordered two tires. I'm waiting for the shipment. We will be repairing the garage roof in-house. The interior of the garage is painted. All pine seedlings in the rear of the building have been removed. The storage compound has three violations pending. The residents have been notified. We are starting on our third round of violation letters to residents on October 2nd. I gave the trustees an attachment of the previous letters sent, or not the actual letters, but a list of all of the residents who had received the violation letters.
And the only thing with that report is that it's very, very difficult to read.
The print is very tiny. I apologize for that.
We need a better report than that.
Blow it up.
I will enlarge it, Joanne. I'm sorry.
I can't read any of it.
Clubhouse projects. We are removing the caulking around the base of the apron of both pools and re-caulking it. We're power washing the sheds, walkways, vinyl fencing, overhangs, and building. We're going to paint all exterior doors, bathrooms, laundry, etc. All overhangs, bocce and shuffleboard courts, gas tank, propane gas tank, cap on the roof, and touch up of the building. We'll present RFP to the trustees for shuffleboard and bocce courts and possibly pickleball. I've signed the contract to replace the AC unit in the lobby, and this has been approved and budgeted. I'm going to get pricing and design for the replacement of the sink area across from the restrooms in the lobby as well. That's been approved and budgeted. Replace chairs and benches in the lobby and stage. We're going to remove the excess conduit around the ceiling molding in the dining hall. Add decorative molding for the existing electrical wires. I will be taking October 6th to the 9th off for vacation days. I will be local in case of emergencies. The girls can call me.
We did cancel all vacations while the COVID's here, right?
Oh, well, thank you for letting me know.
Okay. Sorry, Sherry, about that.
I have a question. What is the replacement price on that air conditioner?
$11,357. Oh. Let me double check.
So did we have three bids on that or just the one?
Yes, $11,357. We will need to replace the air conditioning system in the billiards room as well. However, this one is really in bad shape. We have budgeted for both the systems to be replaced this year.
Can you explain what bad shape means? I mean, have we been paying excessive repair bills on it? What does that mean?
I believe that we could. It would be more efficient to replace it. It sounds like a jet taking off when it kicks on. Sometimes it's cold in here. Sometimes it's unbearably hot. So it's not just the thermostat. It's the system itself. So we had it inspected. It probably should have been replaced a year or two ago, but we've been slowly trying to keep it as long as possible. And again, we're trying to be real cost effective as well, turning it way up at night. Instead of keeping it at 74, we're keeping it like at 78, 79.
Do we have any idea how old that is?
I want to say 15 years.
And it was upon the recommendation of the
inspection from Platts
people to replace it?
Yes.
What do you mean by replacing chairs and benches or in the stage? What are you talking about?
Well, staging means putting up some painting.
It, That's not what it says. It says and stage.
Stage meant means to stage it, like put up pictures.
You're just talking about replacing the chairs, the two chairs that are in the lobby?
The chairs and the two benches in front of the bulletin boards.
Oh, okay. It has nothing to do with the rec hall. Okay.
No. I'd like to see that curio or whatever it is, the black thing under the TV. I would like to make that a serving area, possibly put a coffee maker there or something like that. I don't know. With this COVID, it's very difficult to try to do anything like that, but that would be a goal for the future for the residents.
And my other question is, where did you think about putting pickleball?
Over by where the horseshoes are. It's been a suggestion from some people in the community. People seem to really like it, enjoy it. I myself, I'm not real familiar with it. When we get to that point, we'll see how best to utilize that area and make a better area for bocce, or excuse me, for what's that sandbag name?
For recreation.
That's it.
It's
for recreation, the sandbag, the cornhole, for the cornhole. That's quite popular in season. So just make it more attractive, inviting. Okay, I just want to say that a reminder, all staff are required to wear masks at all times in the building. This goes for residents as well. Please be conscientious and wear your masks. You may not feel you need the protection, but others do. We have had now a few other cases of COVID that we just found out this morning, and they weren't reported. It was just by accident that we found out. So I don't know if they have contacted their neighbors or people that they had been in contact with. So it's definitely in our community. So we all need to do our duty and wear our masks. Residents, please, no political signs to be hung or posted 30 days. You can post them 30 days before the election and 48 hours after. These are the park rules. This is not coming from me or the office or the board. These are the rules. So please try to please adhere to these rules. And that's it. Thank you so much.
Cherie.
Yes.
I was wondering on that poisonous stuff, is that going to be poisonous to the ducks?
No. Absolutely not. It's similar to what they use in the ponds. Except we're going to be using those at the drains.
Okay, so that won't harm the wildlife.
Oh, no, it won't. And Bob suggested a few things the staff can do. Go in there with a rake and try to remove a lot of the vegetation. I think it's going to be a lot easier if they're sprayed and those things are dead to dislodge them and clear and make the drain passage easier, flowing smoothly.
And we still need to. I drove around during that big rainstorm we had, and the grade in front of your building wasn't draining that well, and two of them on Greenfield weren't Greenview weren't draining too well. So I'm thinking we still need to get a few of those grates clean so they drain. But I'll tell you, a lot of them are draining well. So,
well, the staff did really good. They went around and they cleared out a lot of them, not the grates, but the drain passages themselves. Yeah. It still needs work. It's always going to need work. That's just the way it is. It's a work in progress, but I'm hoping to utilize the lawn company more with different things like that throughout the park.
Sherry and I went around and looked at some of those drains, and most of your problem is not down in the drain. It's where the drain runs into the pond. There's a backup inside of the piping that needs to be cleaned out to help that.
We'll get Roto-Rooter on that. They can clear that out. I know they can clean that out.
Well, Bob, can I ask you, is that something that should be done and looked at on a periodic basis as part of maintenance?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
At least once a year. What we need to do is have our people. Am I too loud or what? Is take a hoe and at the beginning of the pipe, which goes under the road, and at the end of the pipe, reach in there, wring out that sludge so we have some that it flows through properly. Right now,
wouldn't that be better every 6 months then? Maybe instead of annually.
Well, we should check it every 6 months, and if it needs it, do it. So yes, I agree. Twice a year, check it, see if it needs it, do it.
Okay, then Cherie, I think that's something that you should put on whatever general schedule you have for whomever to do that on a semi-annual basis.
Got it.
You good? Okay.
Cherie, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
This is Bev. The people that have COVID, are they new to the park or residents that have been here a long time?
Residents that have been here a long time.
Okay.
Because of HIPAA, I can't disclose their name.
I know that, yeah.
And which is really unfortunate. I think the park has a right to know.
But we do have again, COVID in the park.
It was just a fluke that I found out. I would never have known. The person is in the hospital at this point.
Is it more than one person?
Two.
Are they both in the hospital?
Yeah. Yes.
Good. Okay. Do we need a motion to accept Cherie's report?
Yeah. Okay. We have a motion to accept Cherie's report.
I make a motion to accept her report, Cherie's.
I second it.
Any comments for the trustees or the public?
So I have Mr. Ragus raising his hand. Hang on.
Okay, go ahead. Can you unmute him?
Okay, there you go, Mr. Ragus.
You there? I'm there.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I would like to know who authorized all this air conditioners and everything else that's being done into the center up there. Who authorized it? Who voted on it? Who seconded it? And who passed it?
John, I'll be happy to share that with you. If you come to the office and fill out a form, I can show you the minutes and who voted on it.
I'm not anywhere near the office right now.
No, not this moment. I'm just saying, if you want to come and see where these were voted upon, I certainly will share it. This actually started before I even started working here 2.5 years ago. I'm following up. So far, one of them has been replaced, and there's two more. So I'm trying to stretch it out, the replacement. However, if it's not going to be cost effective, and if we're going to be spending more money keeping the old ones, it's not worth it.
Anything else? Sounds like we lost them.
There he is.
You got
I'm
me?
Still there.
We're well, back about all the chairs. You're going to replace chairs and everything else in there. Why? What's wrong with the ones that are in there? Are they used that much?
They are. They have been in the past when the clubhouse was operating on a normal basis. Right now, the things in the lobby have all been donated, which is wonderful. I just think a little more modern, comfortable seating would be appropriate. And they're dirty. They've been peed on. And there's sweat on. Yeah, there's been a lot of body. I don't want to go there, Lori. We've had accidents with the furniture too. Okay, so we should update at some point.
Cherie, yes. I thought we voted on this already. The $5,000 for the lobby.
We did. I'm just telling the board what our intentions are, and we're going to act on what the board had voted on. I'm answering John's question actually.
Okay, so we already voted on it. We're going to do it.
Correct.
That's that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to accept Cherie's report. Could we have a vote if nobody else has a comment?
No other comments?
No more other comments.
Okay. Okay.
All in favor? Come on. It's 207. Okay, let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone that don't disagree, say no. Okay, so it's accepted. It's passed. The next thing is the employee reviews. Everybody has looked everything over. I've looked it over. And my opinion on it is, I think the guys at the up at the gatehouse should get something. I think Earl should get the amount requested, and Laurie. That's how I see it. I think right now the guys in the building have it relatively easy. We're not doing anything, and we're keeping them fully employed, which I said I had questions on anyways. That's my take on the raises. I don't know if anybody else has any other opinions on the employee reviews and raises.
I do.
Go ahead.
What I'd like to propose is take 50 cents per hour from me and add it to Kathleen Richardson's pay.
If that's what you want to do, that's up to you.
I believe she's worth every penny. She's been here for 3 years. She does an absolute stellar job with the residents. And I truly feel that she is deserving of it. I would ask the board to give her a 50 cent raise. Okay, let's put it this way. If the board doesn't agree to give her an additional 50 cents, I will agree to take it off of mine.
I'm sorry. Is this in addition to what is listed as her present raise? You want to raise it an additional 50?
I do. Okay. And if the board doesn't agree, then just take it away. Take it from me.
Okay.
So I'd like to see her up to $14 an hour.
Okay.
Okay.
I only have one question, and it's halfway pertains. Have we ever looked at the new job description?
I have a question about actually the new job description. Well,
have we looked at them, voted on them, or anything?
Well, I had a question, Cherie, about your job description on page 3. When was that added, and who added it, please?
I'm sorry, that was Cheryl Moore calling. She did send an email to everybody saying that she wasn't going to make the meeting.
Where are you at page 3?
On page 3 of the that was attached to all of this, the district manager's job description, at the very bottom, there is a paragraph that was added. It's in bold. It was written by someone I don't know who, but it was never approved by this board. So I'd like to know who added it, when they added it, and why they were added it without the approval of the Board of Trustees.
Right. I think that was Gaston.
He wrote that?
I didn't.
I didn't ask if you did. I just asked, did Gaston write it?
I think he did. I'm not sure, Joanne.
Okay, is this an approved job description?
It's not approved. I don't ever recall reading that before. I have never seen that paragraph before.
Okay, because there's something I have a question to also in this, because we'll go to district personnel responsibilities, and it's on the first page. It's about the only time that Cherie has to bring that a hiring or firing to us is the department head supervisor. Why wouldn't she bring every employee to us that she's going to hire so we can make sure that every, you know, employee is clean and respectable and exactly what we want too, not exactly what she wants, maybe what we want also. Can that be changed, or is that going to stay the same?
It can be changed, but I think it gets micromanaging something. I can understand the head, but just regular personnel, that they don't, that take up some meetings sometimes. But.
Well, I've been hearing a whole lot about transparency, and I just thought that would bring a little more transparency to the board.
Yeah,
absolutely. And the other thing is, every time that these job descriptions are altered, changed, corrected, whatever, and approved by the board, they should be dated. There's no date on this. I don't see any on any of them. We go over this. How many times have we been asked to please date all forms? And it just never happens. It's very sad.
So this is something we need to go over in the future.
But I think, I'll tell you the truth, I think we have to review all of these. I don't even know what's been approved and what hasn't, and when they were. There's no dates on anything. And I think we should have another review of all of these and do that at the next meeting. But that has nothing to do with right now. So let's get that over with.
Okay. For the future, that's great.
Yeah. I just want to add for the record that since I've started working here, every staff member that I've hired has worked out very well. Only one has left us, but everyone else has worked out really well. I try to include all of the staff in the process because they have to work with the other people. So the initial decision has been up to the district manager. The board now wants to be involved, which is fine. But I do include the other staff members, and I do value their opinion as well. So they go through quite a screening, not to mention the drug testing and so forth.
I'm just talking about total transparency. That's
gotcha.
Let's go back to drug testing, et cetera. Every employee that we have right now, Cherie, has had a background check?
Yes, absolutely.
You have the results of that?
I do.
And nobody had any problems? No problems, no convictions, no nothing?
No. Minor, but no felonies.
Joe?
Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
It sounds like we're making a mountain out of a molehill. We're talking about none of these are dated. I look at all these other ones that are in our file, or in our pile, I should say, of job descriptions. Mine are 2/11/2019, 3/28/2018. I don't know why Joanne doesn't see dates on these. I think if we go back to our minutes, we would see that we approved Baston's work as the person who shepherded this district manager job description through the board last time. So I think all we have to do is look back at our records, and we can probably pull out the date of when this was approved. It just didn't happen without any action.
This is Cherie's. This is Cherie's there.
All right. So when you want, so I guess we can go ahead and discuss that at the next meeting. Yeah. We can go over it because we have people that disagree, I guess.
Let's research it and put it on the agenda for next meeting, please.
Yep. Let's do that. And the manager's job description. And if
can we
find out, maybe
somebody
can
pull.
Yes.
Yeah, let's do that.
And will Kathy be getting the raise, or shall I give her some of my pay?
You want it right on here. It's a 50 cent raise. So you want her to get a dollar raise.
I do.
$14 per month.
I do.
I lost connection. Are we got a motion? Do we have a motion on the floor? I lost connection.
No, we don't have any motions, and I don't know I think we should go through this person by person. Just say what you either approve what's on the paper or not without having to say it out loud, because Joe disagreed on some of these. Okay, I'm going to make, is Joe there?
Where did he go?
Joe?
I think we lost him.
I was just lost for about 2 minutes. I had to go back in and move back up.
I don't see Joe yet right now.
I don't see Joe. There he is.
I don't see him.
Yeah, his name is there, but the square is black.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Car is still in the driveway.
If I could ask a question while we're quiet, how many hours a week does Kathy work?
9 to 3 each.
So she works 6 hours?
She works 30 hours a week.
30 hours a week?
9 a.m. till 3 p.m.
Oops.
Bob, don't you have that on your sheet?
For hours? Oh, yeah. Yes, I do. I'm sorry. I didn't see that. So if we decided to give her that extra 50 cents, it'd be $780 a year more out of Holiday Park.
Oh, I'm just curious, Cherie. You know how I am with these numbers, and I always have to disagree. It says that your hours are 9 to 5. You do realize that's a 35-hour work week, right?
I have a time card, Joanne. I'll be happy to share it with everyone. No, I average about
That's what it's showing on the sheet. I'm just saying 9 to 5 is a 35-hour work week. Anybody who works 9 to 5 will know that.
I don't take lunch. I don't I'm here till 7 o'clock.
That lunch thing, we're gonna go through that again. We don't pay for lunch.
I don't know what to say, Joanne. I was here yesterday on Sunday. I was here till 7:30 Friday night. I mean, I'm sorry.
I don't think you should put down 9 to 5. I think you should just put 40 hours, which is okay. In your job,
I crossed it out and changed it. Thank you, Joanne.
That's what's in the job description, 40 hours. Leave it at that.
Okay.
And then, you know, you can figure it out after that. Should we maybe get on with the absence of Joe? We're at now 2:21, yeah, and we haven't even gotten halfway through our agenda.
Isn't he here yet?
What's that?
He's not back.
He's not back.
I don't see him.
Then I'll make a motion, Joanne, that the three persons listed in the office section of the recommendations, Lori, Cherie, and Kathy, we go with the increases of Lori to $20, Cherie's total salary to $72, and Kathy Richardson, $14 an hour. I move that we do that as the board.
Second it.
Is there any public comment? Any trustee comments?
Rebecca has a question.
1 second, and Becky has on.
What kind of a raise is that for Cherie? How much?
$2,000.
3%.
Pardon me?
Less than 3%.
It went from 70 to 72.
Thank you.
And that was approved a couple months ago, I believe.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Are there any other public comments? Any trustee comments?
Wait a minute.
Wait, I have Bodo. Hi, Cindy.
Yeah.
Speaking of employee raises, I just wanted to know why we have some employees here a minimum of 4 years. They have at least 4 years into employment with us, but they might be earning as much as $5 less per hour than the newest hire, Lou Carlucci.
Yeah, Cindy, I'm just going to interrupt for 1 minute only because we had a motion and second. The comments are on that motion. Then we're going to answer that for you too. Okay. So let's finish this motion, the second. If there's no other comments on this particular motion and no trustee comments, then let's take a vote. All in favor of approving the increases for the office staff only, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Now, Cindy, you'll want to be in on this. On for the custodial increases, is there a motion to approve them as they are listed?
I make a motion we approve as listed.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Is there a public comment now?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Cindy, now is the time for your question.
Earl Simmons has been with us for 4 years, earning $12.50 per hour. Lou has been with us since October of 2019, earning $18 per hour. I was wondering why there's such a difference in pay. And still asking for a raise for Lou Carlucci.
I didn't suggest the raise. When Lou was hired in, he was hired in because of his previous experience with all around maintenance
he's not doing a lot of these maintenance duties that are under job responsibilities. Most of his time is being spent in the office with you or out on the grounds riding around to look at mobile home violations.
I don't think that's the majority of his job, though.
No, absolutely not. No.
Yeah.
He does a myriad of things, Cindy. In one day, it's difficult. And that goes for all the staff. We're trying to have it. That's not my job restriction here. We all kind of work together. We all do work together. Lou is definitely helping with the violations, with the storage compound, the conduit, the electrical. He pretty much with Jose, Jose is now down to just 3 shifts a week. So Lou is taking up the slack there as well. No one's perfect.
Is he going to be doing the repair on that garage roof?
Yes.
Okay. I don't remember. Was Earl always a full-time employee? I'm sorry, I don't know that answer.
Yes.
Okay.
Does Carlucci have a lunch?
30 minutes, just like the others.
30 minutes. So he works 7.5 hours a day.
This has been my, I'm going to use the word bitch. And this is what I've been bitching about. I don't know for how long. Nobody seems to do the math correctly. And I don't know where else to go with it, but if somebody else could back me up on it.
So what I'm saying is,
with a half hour lunch, which we don't pay for, is a 37 and a half hour work week.
So let me explain something
about this.
And I understand your plight, but it says here that he works from 8 to 4. That's 8 hours. He gets a half hour lunch. So he gets only paid, am I correct, 7.5 hours a day?
No, he's not. He's getting paid 8 hours a day, just as others working the same hour shift.
But she just said he gets a half hour lunch. So is it a paid lunch?
So they feel that they're entitled to get paid for it. It's wrong, and I cannot get it through the heads of anybody. And I don't understand it, but I'm tired of talking about it.
You got it through my head. I'm going to tell you that. Yes, I agree. Why should he get paid for the, you know, if he takes a half hour, why should he get paid for lunchtime where I worked before? You either take it. And then we did do that where it was 8 hours a day, but it was a 15-minute lunch that you got paid. But you definitely were only off 15 minutes and then went.
Well, in here, and there's a, I have to say, I'm going to have to say it. Lori also works 8 to 4. They all get 2 15-minute breaks.
And that's a half
mandatory hour.
Mandatory.
Fine. But they also are entitled to a half hour lunch, which we don't pay for. No company pays it. And yet they get paid for it because they feel that they're working through it.
That's something maybe we should bring up at a future meeting and discuss it a little more.
Well, I just want to interject.
I'm tired of it.
It's difficult to say when a lunch is. We run into different situations all of the time. If we said, okay, our lunch is 12 to 12:30, it's almost impossible. If we're in the middle of a transaction with a resident or if there's an emergency or something, we cannot say, okay, this is it. Just different things pop up all the time.
No one said it had to be from 12 to 12:30, 12:30 to 1. It could be 12:05 to whatever. It doesn't matter. That half hour should be and must be, I feel, it should be taken. It should be away from the office, and that's the way I believe it should be. But you know what? Let's not take any more time on this.
Yeah, I agree because I remember when this was brought in that they would do that. Now it's up to the board if we want to change that. We have to bring it up to a meeting, vote, make it a motion, vote on it, and go from there. Thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second on the custodial staff increases. Is there anybody who would like to make a change? I think I would. And I think I don't think we should go ahead with the increase for Carlucci because I think that is – I don't think it's warranted right now.
I agree.
And that would be my only change. So I don't know if anybody wants to.
Are you making that a motion?
Well, you'd have to amend the motion if you agree with it. Otherwise, you just don't. So
I actually agree with you, Joanne.
Well, yeah,
I agree also.
That was my original suggestion, and then Joanne had changed it. So
yeah, I don't agree with that.
Let's make an amendment to the motion.
If I made the motion, I'll amend that we do custodial as shown, except for Kaluski, will stay at $18.
I second it.
Are there any public comment?
Allison.
Yes, I have Allison raising her hand. 1 minute.
Yes, I do have a comment. I'm a little concerned that when Cherie was speaking about Lou, saying he does electrical, he does plumbing. He's not a certified electrician. He's not a certified plumber. So if he starts screwing with our electrical system and something happens, our insurance is not going to pay for any damages caused by him because he's not insured.
None of our staff will do anything that requires any type of
permit. Then why did you bring it up? Why
because he does do replacing an electrical outlet, something minor that does not require permitting soft things.
We're not talking about permitting, Cherie. We're talking about errors. And since he's not a certified electrician.
But he doesn't do anything like that, Allison. He doesn't do anything.
But
like
that's
that.
Not what you're telling the residents. That's not what you're telling the trustees.
I apologize. I'll rephrase it.
Okay.
Simple
and
I believe that
the past employee did a lot of electrical work around here. Did you check his qualifications and whether he was licensed and approved?
None of them are licensed and approved. They wouldn't be here as maintenance men. They'd be journeymen at their job.
I'm just saying. The work that you're allowed to do within your own home without being certified, you can do that.
In your own home, that's correct. The previous employee could do the electrical, and when we were going to increase all the electrical outlets, I said no, because there's a danger in somebody who is not certified messing with the electronics. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you 100%, Allison. Anything that requires a permit or anything in depth like that, of course, we're going to get a licensed, insured trade.
But that's what you based hiring him at 1850 on, so I agree.
No, it wasn't 1850. It wasn't 1850.
He shouldn't be making 1850.
He's not.
He's making 1850.
Once we vote.
Well, Joe is back again. So, Joe, you can take it from here.
I'm back. So, he's making $18 an hour, and I agree with Bob and Julian that he should stay at 18. And the other ones I'm okay with.
We have an amended motion by Keith Richards, second by Bob Shearer.
Shortly.
So now you just need to take a vote.
Okay, let's vote on it then. All those in favor of the adjustments that were just made, say aye.
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 Joanne, it's Shortledge, not Shearer.
No, I said Bob Shortledge.
Okay. Any that disagree with the changes we've made, say no. Okay, that passed unanimously. So it's going to go ahead with the raises as stated, except for the one.
Now the gatehouse raises.
Okay, the gatehouse. Sorry. For me, I agree with all the gatehouse raises. For me, because they're up there, they're speaking to these people that come in. You know, they could be sick, they cannot be sick. No, they're, you know, to me, they're frontline employees. You know, for me, I think they should get the raises that are here.
Is that a motion by you, Joe?
That's a motion by me to go ahead and accept the increases on the sheet.
I will second that motion. Having worked at the gate before, I know what those guys go through.
Yep.
No, I agree.
Discussion.
So we have a discussion. Trustee first. Any comments by the trustees? We have none. Then public comment on the gatehouse raises. Any public comment?
Vote.
No comments. Go ahead. Let's go ahead and take the vote. Do I have a motion?
What is the motion?
You made it.
To approve the raises for the gatehouse?
Joe Prisco made the motion, was seconded by Russ Livermore to approve all the raises as on this sheet. For the gatehouse. So now you need a vote.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any that disagree that's going to vote no?
Okay, we have one more left. Okay, we have one more left. James Herron.
I make a motion that we approve his raise.
I'll second that.
Okay. We have any comments by the trustees?
Yes, I do. I certainly do. I want to know why he's the only full-time employee that must take an hour lunch break. We've got here, he works from 7 to 4, 1 hour lunch break. He's the only full-time employee that's doing that.
Again, that's up for discussion at that next meeting because I have a lot of problems with these also.
I just wanted to bring it up.
Okay.
I mean, that could be his choice, too. You know,
it definitely is his choice. He's been working those hours for 23 years. It works for him.
Yeah, but he may want to go home at 4 o'clock, too. He may like that.
No, let's leave it.
He's a creature of habit, Bob. Okay. I do want it.
I'm done.
Okay, before we close out the employee staff issues information, I just would like everyone to know that I have completed my continuing education classes for my CAM license, and I passed them with flying colors. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Let's vote.
Okay, that's it. Are those in favor say aye of his raise?
Aye.
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 All those in disfavor say no. It has passed unanimously. Okay. We're on to the lawn contracts. Next issue. Okay, let me put in my 2 cents. We did all that. I reviewed the lawn contracts. Two of them were very similar. We did get Flawless come in at the last moment, so we have 4 bids. Flawless was similar to U.S. Lawns. Except for, I believe, the trimming all the way around the homes. I think that's the difference between the two of them.
No, it isn't.
No, but... Hold on. Let me finish it. My comment. From what I hear, Shane, are you on there? If he's on there, could you unmute Shane from U.S. Lawns?
On there. We weren't told we were having a guest.
Yeah, why is Shane on here and the other 4 aren't?
Well,
he's not on here. Well,
okay, then don't worry about it then. Anyways, he asked some questions to Sheree about the contract, that it was going from, 38 to 42 cuts. So obviously that's going to raise the price. So you wanted more cuts. We had 38 before. And then also the edging. And she replied to his email that the edging will still only go up to, you know, just the driveway, and it won't go around the house. Mm-hmm. So that's really his bid there. So it's different than the other bids. The other bids include the trimmings all the way around the house, I believe.
No, it doesn't. If I'd be able to give you my spiel, I'll tell you.
All right, tell us.
Well, at the last meeting, I was asked to do the lawn crew thing. So I took it and I ran with it. Okay. Now, what I did, first and foremost, I want to thank Sheree for all the work she's done to help me on this. And trust me, she really helped me a lot. Now, what I wanted to do is I wanted to have everybody that we were considering for a lawn crew to be on the same page. So instead of them submitting contracts to us, I personally made up a contract for us and sent it to all the lawn crews. So everybody was bidding on the same exact thing. There was no discrepancies or anything anywhere. We sent it, Sheree sent it to 6 different lawn crews. One lawn crew did not counter back. One lawn crew didn't listen to what we said and sent their contract in. So that was no good. So we got 4 proposals from 4 different contracts. U.S. Lawns sent back $194,400 yearly. Flawless sent back $195,200 yearly. Sunset sent back $240,000 yearly. Bird sent back $282,240. Going with that, what we did is the reason why I upped it from 38 to 42 because of the rainy season extends. And I would rather have them do more to keep the lawns down and less complaining about our residents than less. So I upped it to 42, and I brought that from another contract over because I thought that was a real good thing. So what, and something else that I did, and by the way, the trimming, the edging will be the same exact what it is now. The trimming will be the same exact what it is now. Everything is exact what it is now, except for who's going to be doing it. So one thing I did on our contract is I added a 5th page, which is questions, which I'm sure if we'd had it in the thing, people would have asked questions. So I asked some questions. And for those that don't know out there, some of the questions was, when was your company established? How many employees do you currently have full-time and part-time? If you were awarded this contract, do you need to hire more employees? The reason why? I don't want brand new employees coming in here. What training have you provided to each ground crew member? And everybody has sent back what they've trained them. how many employees per crew will you provide? That means if they're sending in two crews and there's three crews, three per crew, that's six people. And then I said proposed number of crews to provide, one or two. And total number of workers proposed each day, which would say they're locked into five or six, whatever they proposed in this, and the total number of days to complete the job. It doesn't mean from Monday or Thursday. It could mean from Tuesday to Friday. And what I really did with this contract, on that final page of questions, I had them initial it. And what that means when they initial it, this is now part of the contract. If they say, no, I only said I'd send in three, you pull this out, you say, no, you didn't. You said you'd send in five per day. They would be in violation. That was going to help us if anything has to ever come up. So there is my spiel. You know the numbers. You and the board will go from there what we decide. What I didn't appreciate is U.S. Lawns calling you when I was supposed to be the one that's going to be doing it. You asked me to do it. I really didn't want to, but you know what? I did. I did a little reluctantly, but I think I put heart and soul, like I do to everything I do for this for Holiday Park, which I love to do. So I think what we've got here is four real good contracts here that we can vote on what we want. We can keep what we got and try to help. Hopefully they're going to get better, especially with 42 cutting, or we could change to something way out there and 200 and some thousand, or we can take the next contract, which is what, about $2,000 more, or what is it exactly? Which is, about $1,000 more. It's really up to the board. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to shut up and let you guys talk. Okay, bye.
Okay, so any comments from the board? Who do we want to pick? I guess it's going to, from what just Bob just said, the edging is going to stay the same. So they won't be doing around the houses.
Nope. Everything's the same.
Everything's the same. Okay. All right. Okay. Everything's the same.
The difference between the two contracts is really $800.
Oh, okay. Okay. I just did it real quick.
The other two are a little bit out of reach with not only their price, but even I believe their staffing. So I'm not comfortable with either one of those. Personally, but I'd like to hear from the other trustees.
How much more would it be to have around the whole house?
I didn't even go there because I didn't want to confuse or do anything. If we want to modify this contract, once we have it, that we can do. That can be done at any time. When you modify a contract, it must go into the contract, be initialed by all parties, and then it will become part of the contract.
I don't think it only increased the price, but it's got to take more time.
Absolutely.
So I don't think they're ever going to be able to get all of that done within 4 days.
They are so fast now coming around my house. It's like they're here and they're gone.
Every guy that's been on a lawnmower for the last 21 years that I've been here, that's all we ever hear is how fast they drive.
No, I'm not talking about the lawnmowers. I'm talking about when he comes to weed whack around my house. It's like the fastest job, and it's terrible. It's all over the place. And I don't even get breezed off here either, sweeped off.
That's why we went to get four other bids.
And it's not the first time. I'm like at the end of the day for them, and they don't care about it.
Yeah, we hear a lot of those complaints, and I think we'll just keep on working on that. In my opinion, after the reviews, and if you looked at the front page from the U.S. Lawns, you see their management structure. It's a big company. They also can respond in emergency situations, which was addressed in his bid there, where they can pull from the other U.S. lawns in Brevard County and get them all in here. I just think, in my opinion, they're the best fit for the park. They're a professional company with various ways to go up the ladder to get all the way to the owner if we have to. We try not to bother the owner, Brandon, but if we have to, we can. In my opinion, but it's up to the board. I did, look at Flawless. I know some people want Flawless, give them a chance. But I think U.S. Lawns are doing better, and we have very few complaints considering the size of our property. If you get another company, it doesn't mean the complaints are going to go away. And there's my opinion. I mean, anybody else can say what they think and go from there.
I agree with you, Joe, but one thing I think it's down to Flawless and U.S. Loans, because the others, I think, are astronomical in price, so we can just throw them to the side. So let's just look at these two. They were established about the same time. One has 60, Flawless has 60 employees. U.S. Loans has 85 employees. They're both going to give us exactly the same thing, except for Flawless said how many per crew. He said 5 to 6 U.S. Loans says 5, proposed number of the crew 1. And they're everything exactly the same, except for how many employees as a crew will you provide. He says 5 to 6. Normally you'll go with the 5. So as far as I'm concerned, these two are equal. I think both companies are big enough companies that neither one of them can handle what we have. But like I said, it's up to us whether we want to keep what we got and keep trying to improve it, or get something in here and let them prove to us what they got. So it's up to the board. I don't know what I'm going to decide yet. So let's hear some more opinions.
I would like to voice an opinion. I myself would like to give Flawless the opportunity. I think that they're close. Their company, I've been to their shop. It's fabulous. And I just think that we should give them the opportunity. I've tried and done everything I can with U.S. Loans. And to me, I would feel, I would like to see Flawless.
Oh, by the way, Cheryl Moore is on, which is great.
Hello, guys. Sent an email apparently that no one got this morning at 8:15 saying I was not going to be able to make it.
Nope. I didn't get it.
No, I didn't get it either.
No.
I have a question from either Joe's perspective or Bob's perspective from when you work with a crew here. It seems like there's always complaining about the work that was done. That's a given. But to me, it seems like if we're doing 700 homes here and we've got 5 complaints in a week, that seems to me to be a pretty good ratio.
I agree.
Not more than 5 complaints, Jack.
Well, I'm talking about what we see.
I see.
Okay.
But you're right, Jack. We constantly, no matter if we had our crew, somebody will always have those complaints, no matter what. Yes.
So I was going to say, as a result of that, I would like to stay with U.S. Loans because we know what we've got. They are very responsive. They may have some bad eggs ever so often that's on the employee rolls, but they come and deal with the things very quickly. And I think that, to me, sells them for me.
Okay, I understand that, but one thing I remember, there was a day, and they would have been in violation of this contract now, that they only had 3 employees in here, and there was 2 employees, I'm sorry. They only had 2 employees in here, which would have been in violation. We just said, okay, where's the other 3? And sometimes they do have some excuse. Now, I'm not saying either or way I want to go, but sometimes they do have excuses why somebody isn't here.
Okay, the only, and I'm going to put in my 2 cents then. If we were to drop U.S. Loans, you have to give them 30 days notice.
Yes.
Okay. And if you took Flawless and within a couple of months you didn't like what they did, how many more companies can we go out to get bids from? Now you're burning your own bridges about the companies that can and will even accept a job like this to do. So, for me, the way I would handle it, if U.S. Loans was to stay and they were in violation of breaking that contract by not having 4 people on as a crew or whatever, you go to the manager and or the supervisor, hello, we need it. We have to have a price adjustment. Excuse me. You broke your contract. Let's see what you could do. Get something for them for nothing. We'll have them do something. I don't know. But that's the way I would handle it. And personally, I would stay with U.S. Loans for now. I have a feeling Flawless would be a good But I hate burning my bridges with this because we don't have too many more people that you're going to go to for this kind of price. Because I'm going to tell you right now, and I've said it before, that other price that you got, that's what we got 8 years ago.
Yeah, you're right, because we don't want to burn too many bridges, because look at those other prices. They're over in the $200,000 range.
And we had those prices, Bob, 8 years ago. We didn't have one bid under $230,000 8 years ago.
So it could be a good idea to, I'm just going to throw this out there. Stay with U.S. Lawns, letting them know, not trying to bully anybody, but say, we do have somebody waiting in the wings if we soon don't get what we want. And let Flawless know that, hey, please stand by and tell them exactly what we're going to do and say, if it continues, this is what we will do.
Exactly. I would approach both of them in that way and and be on U.S. Lawns like whatever.
Thank you.
There's a complaint, be on them on it. And they have to see an improvement within them and give them a time limit. We want to see improvement with the next crew or whatever.
Thank you. Good idea.
Well, if I may say something.
Yes, most definitely.
I'm disappointed with U.S. Lawn. Have been almost since the day one. When they go do my yard, people next door to me, up and down the block, they go so fast that they miss half of the yard.
Right.
Then maybe they'll come back a little bit later and do another squash. They come back and blow. They come back and weed whack, and then they forget about blowing, or they start at the end of my driveway and blow the stuff into my porch. And it's been going on. And every day that I have to go and ask the gentleman that's going with the blower to start at my porch and work toward the street rather than from the street to my porch, because I always have to clean up the mess. And I haven't seen a whole lot of improvement of them. If they improve their service, I would say continue with U.S. Lawns, because I know how it was, as many years that I had our own grounds crew, we had complaints. But you have to do, in order to get five days a week and do 703 homes, you have to do 140 homes a day. That's an awful lot. So I can understand that, but that's my piece on it. If they improve their service a little bit and take a little more care, I'd be going, I'll give them another shot.
I would just like to add also that with keeping U.S. Lawns or Flawless, I think we can use the company to do other things in the park, albeit the ditches being scraped, maybe lifting the grates, possibly trimming the cabbage palms and the oaks, and mulching. I like using one company. I think that they would give us a really good price as opposed to subbing everything out. I have lost a lot of respect and confidence with U.S. Lawns over the past year. I have bent over backwards trying to work with them. That's my position. I've tried and I will continue to try if this is the board's decision. However, I think a change is in the best interest for the park.
Okay, do we have any more trustee comments?
I don't know how it would work, but our sister park has, they have much more grounds than we do. So they have two lawn companies that do their properties. And what that does? That pits one against the other. And, everyone's trying to outdo the other one. I could do it better. I could do it quicker. And I can, just better.
It's not that, Joanne. I love it.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
What do you think, Bob?
What do you think about trying to? What if we try to split up this park in two sections and get two different bids? I mean, get two different companies.
Just let me play devil's advocate there.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that, because I'm just talking out of my, you know,
what, it's a great idea, but what could happen with these companies? I'm going to be losing half of my revenue to somebody else. So you know what? Just let them do. And if both companies say that, where are we at?
That's not going to happen, Bob. You think?
Well, you never know.
Well, they wouldn't sign a contract to that anyway if they didn't want to do it.
That's true. That's true. And but what if both didn't?
And the U.S. lawns could come back. You know, they say, hey, why are we getting only a contract for half the – well, you know what? We have not been 100% pleased with you, but we are going to maintain and hope that you're going to do better, and let's see how this works out. But we're going to take on another company and see if they can do – sorry, but this is our property, and this is how we feel.
That is a pretty good idea.
Well, that would mean we'd have to table this then. That's what you want to do.
It means you have to just revise the contract. That's half right. 50-50.
Wow.
And see if they'd even do it. It would even come to be.
I was going to say, that's a whole new Sherry's on, by the way.
Yes.
That would be a whole new RFP.
Yes.
And
yes.
Real specific with addresses or street names or however you would divide that up. That's
right. Yeah.
That, and I would be like glad to do that again if we come to that.
All right, Bob. Yeah.
Well, you know,
I think our sister. Okay, Joanne.
No, I was going to say poll all the trustees to see what they even think of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. I just thought about that one.
Isn't the sister park actually divided into two real distinct sections?
No.
Is that how they divide that up? Because they have a part one and a part two?
No, they're in the round like we are. It's just that they have one section where it's a dog-free section. But and they do have it divided where they have different pools for each section, but it's not physically divided. It's pretty much okay. Like it looks just like ours, except it's they have a lot more common grounds, a huge amount of common grounds.
I'd love to hear from all these. Homes. I'd love to hear from all the trustees, if possible.
Cool. Actually, I haven't had a problem with you.
35 acres. Our sister park has 60. They have 865 homes. We have 703.
It's a whole other ball game, but
yeah,
that's why they divided it. I mean, I don't think any one company could have done it in a week. Anyway, so, but it, you know what? It works for them and both the companies. They've had them for several years now.
I love it.
I think competition is always good.
I suggest that we have a couple of people take a look at this and bring a recommendation for next year. I think if we keep throwing monkey wrenches into taking action, we're never going to get anywhere. I think we need some study.
Yeah, I think I agree with Jack, because remember, you're doubling everything. So I'm sure Bob will take care of all the complaints for Flawless and U.S. Lawns.
And that's Joe's job.
No, Joe won't be here. So Bob will be taking complaints of U.S. Lawns and Flawless, because now you're going to have two groups of
no, people. We've got that under control. Bob and I have an understanding.
We have an understanding.
Under control. Okay. Well, I think you're just going to have two groups of people in here. When are they going to come in? Are they going to come in the same time? They're going to be bumping into each other. You're going to have all that going on. Rather than one company, I just think it's a mistake. I would pick one company and not choose one against the other and try to pit them against each other. That isn't going to work with cutting grass. I don't see it.
I would like to see what people would be bidding on a half a job. I mean, I don't think they'd cut it in half because you have setup fees. But before we can really talk about it too much, I think we need to get a bid on doing a half a job, you know, one half the park and the other half a park. And so that adds to the cost too, maybe.
You want to table this then?
No, I'm going to make a motion to accept U.S. Lawns. Let's do it for now. But I think that other proposal or the suggestion that I made could be discussed at a later time. And perhaps in another year, if we are really upset with U.S. Lawn, go with another company or break it in two. But you could look into it at the same time and give Bob Shortledge the opportunity to do the division and all of that kind of work so that we're prepared for it next year. It won't be a big surprise.
Well, you're going to have to
accept U.S. Lawn.
I'll second it.
Proposal.
I'll second the motion to accept.
You have public comments. A lot of them.
Yes, I have public comments. The first one is Becky.
Okay, go ahead, Becky.
Are you saying that they are not supposed to be edging around the house?
Correct.
Or whacking?
So yes. They're going to be trimming around the house and edging out front.
Okay, but what's the terminology for around the house?
The weed whacking.
Okay.
Yeah, just weed whacking.
Okay.
Weed whacking in the back of my house.
And 6 inches away from any vine, any skirting.
Any plastic. And
yeah, I understand that. I had an issue and I made a complaint this morning and that's what I complained about. So I just want to make sure my complaint was legitimate. So yes,
please fill out all. Please report all complaints so we can compile it and then we can use it.
I wrote it in up this morning. It's good. In writing. Thank you.
Okay, next.
You got Allison. Oops.
Allison?
Yes, I'd like to say I agree with Joanne. I think that's a great idea. And the other thing that's a benefit to this park is that now we can have both companies come in the same day. We can get the whole park mowed in 2 days. And we don't have all of this traffic going back and forth and back and forth. So I agree with Joanne. I think it's a great idea. And I think for next year, we ought to consider it. Thank you.
Okay. Next year. Next question.
Sharon.
Laurie, do we have another?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay. How long is the contract? Is it 1 year?
1 year.
And then I also agree that it would be a great idea for the following year to.
Okay. Well,
I don't know who the lady was that just spoke, but it's a 1 year contract, but within all of these contracts, we have 30 days in which to give them notice and they would be gone if we wanted them to be gone.
You got Sharon, Sharens.
Thank you.
Oh, we just heard from her.
No, down here, no, Sharon.
That was there. Oh, that's somebody else. Okay. Sharon, you on there?
She needs to unmute.
I'm trying to.
There it is.
Hello.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, this is Sharon Schmidt, 1055 Sunflower Lane, and I'm coming back to my complaint that I registered last week with respect to edging. I will speak quickly so I don't take too much time. Joe came by and looked at my complaint, and when I asked him about it, because I am looking to have the edging done around the concrete that goes around my house, okay? And he told me that, no, they're only supposed to do as far as the driveway. Okay, fine. I said, well, when I first came here, the company, whoever it was that did it then, used to go all the way around the concrete. Joe told me that that was the in-house employees and that they cost $150,000 a year more. So I said, so what you're saying is, in other words, I have to go out and buy a weed whacker. And he kind of shrugged. And I said, well, that ain't happening. I said, if this place is going to look neat, it's got to be taken care of, okay? And if it was $150,000 a year more, was that money passed on to were those savings passed on to the homeowners? That's my statement, and I hope you guys take it into consideration. Thank you.
Okay. We get any others?
I'm done.
Okay.
Can I ask
I have a comment, please.
Wait, could I go back to that? Sharon?
Yes.
Can I ask Sharon a question, please?
Sharon? Sure.
Yeah, yes. Hi. I know you're a fairly new resident. When did you move in?
Just about a year ago.
Well, we've had U.S. lawns for a year, so I don't think you were even here when we had. So I don't know about Joe telling you about the... You know,
well, I didn't pick that out of the air.
No, I know. I'm saying I don't know where Joe got that because I don't think you were living here when we had our in-house employees. But
I moved here late September, early October of last year.
Yeah, they were What we U.S. lawns that we've had in contract for since last September.
Okay. Well, at one point, they used to go around all the concrete. Now, I'm lucky that they finish it all the way up, you know, as far as the driveway. And it looks terrible. And I don't want to go out and buy a weed whacker.
Okay. I think
I shouldn't have to. If I was the case, I might as well have stayed where I was and paid for my own contractor. That's it.
Okay, I would like to say one thing before we take the vote. I just want to make a statement.
I have more comments, Bob.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Carol Addy was next.
Carol Addy.
So, Carol Addy, 1000 Vista Court. So I've had quite a time with U.S. Lawns, a couple of months, but I will say that after elevating it or escalating it with all the skirting issues, it has been now completed, and it was due to Josh getting involved. So I think, Bob, my only recommendation is, you know, find out the right person that will actually get the situation rectified without the amount of time that had to be put in by myself, and I think for people before me that had problems as well.
Okay.
Hey, now Cheryl Moore.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that we know the difference between edging and weed whacking. And they edge on our sidewalks and our driveways. They weed whack around the house. My house, personally, I've not had any problems with it at all. I live next door to Carol. She had a lot of problems. They put a lot of rocks through her skirting. But I think... For us, they've always gone weed whacking around the house. They are supposed to stay the 6 inches. If we don't want them, they will stay as far away. We also say if you put pavers along the edge or around your house, the perimeter of your house, that keeps them even that much farther away from your skirting. But they do weed whack. They do not edge around the house. So that, just for clarification. Yep. Those are two different object of, you know, tasks.
Okay. Any more from the public?
I don't see any. I don't know if Andrea is there. Did you want to speak? You didn't have raise your hand.
I already spoke. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Okay. So we're done with the, public comment and no more trustee comments. So
yes, I have one comment, please.
All
I want to do is just make a statement. I am going to vote, but my vote is contingent on we keep U.S. Lawns feet to the fire and flawless out there that they can come in at any time. If we give U.S. Lawns 30-day notice, let them both know that. Okay. That's only my comment.
I like that idea.
Yes, yet U.S. Lawns knows that there is somebody right up their back.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Before we vote, do I need to swear in, Cindy?
I would think
did that get done?
Well, why don't we finish this and then you can go back to that. Yes, you could do that. We said she would do it later on if you came by.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. We already have the motions.
The second.
Yeah. So you just need to take the vote. You
need a vote then. All those in favor of keeping U.S. Lawns, say aye.
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 Any in disfavor? Do not want U.S. Lawns. Want the other companies?
Disfavor.
Who? Everybody's in agreement to pick U.S. Lawns. Like Bob said, he'll keep an eye on him and keep him on the straight and narrow. Okay, so.
Wait.
What happened? Hello?
What's going on?
Okay. Cynthia, did I say that? Cindy.
Make sure everybody's muted.
Okay. All right. Can you go ahead and swear her in?
I can. I kind of want to find her on the.
She's there.
So I can look at her.
She was just there.
There you are. Okay. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Do you raise your right hand and repeat after me? I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly
that
swear.
I will. I'm sorry. That I will support, protect, and defend.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and government of the United States.
The Constitution and government of the United States.
And of the state of Florida.
And of the state of Florida.
And that I am duly qualified to hold office.
And that I am duly qualified to hold office.
Under the Constitution of the state.
Under the Constitution of the state.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Perform the duties of trustee of.
Perform the duties of trustee of.
The Board of Trustees of the Port Malabar Holiday Park.
The Board of Trustees
of Holiday Park.
Port Malabar Holiday Park. No, it's a long name. Mobile Home Park Recreation District.
Mobile Home Park Recreation District.
On which I am now about to enter, so help me God.
On which I'm now about to enter, so help me God.
Yes, thank you. Welcome, Cindy.
Welcome. Now she's in. She votes.
She votes.
Welcome to the majory.
Why didn't they vote her in? Because only secretary can swear her in, and Cheryl wasn't on at first.
Who's talking?
We need to mute them, please, Lori.
To mute everybody else there. The next one, number 13, Palm Bay Homes discussion and home removal. I mean, there's really nothing we can do with these homes until, October 10th at the latest. I guess we'll be notified if we get a property or not get a property. And I think at that point, the people will be coming into the office and submitting their plans to us and to Cherie and the board. And then we'll have to look at it at that time. I don't know that we can tell these people to remove. Now, the city of Palm Bay said the only one over on Moonlight Court is going to be condemned. So whoever buys that one, they're going to have to tear that off. But I don't know about the other eight, because they're saying that they're repairable. And actually, they could live in them if they repair these things.
But that's not the decision. This is the decision of the Board of Trustees for Holiday Park. That's not a city decision. I believe a letter of intent from the purchaser would be in order. I think that we could have, would have, should have, but I think that a letter of intent is the way to go, so that we know exactly what their plans are. If you have someone who lives in New York, they say, okay, I'm going to totally fix and rehab in January. And then they go home and they say, well, I'll be back in July. So you still have the derelict home. Although we may be getting the assessments, the whole purpose of this is to get rid of these things. Or someone go in with a time constraint to say, okay, well, you have 30 days and so forth. I think that's something the board should discuss or should think about. There is nothing that says that they need to be torn down. Again, we should probably have the attorney in on this, which we should have done in the first place. But I don't think waiting until the last minute is a very good idea either.
Yeah, I myself have looked in all the paperwork and everything that Palm Bay has said and everything that we have said, and there's nowhere, anywhere that says you have to tear that down.
Correct.
We have to correct that.
There is nowhere. That's why I think, I know Cherie's mentioned that we're going to tell them to tear these things down. I don't think that we have the right to say, oh, Bob, you bought that one over there, and now you have to tear it down, even though it was sold to you.
I could say, forget it. I'm not tearing it down.
Exactly. Sure, I'll be back in January. I'll do it then.
Yeah, I mean, we need to cover our bases here.
Definitely. Are we allowed to say if
if people do not want to tear the homes down, we want them to come down as a park. That's what we've been talking about for a year since I've lived here. So it's been talking about a lot longer than that.
Right.
But if we cannot legally say that to them, that it must be torn down, can we give them a contract before they get approved that says, yes, you're buying this property. You have 60 days to fix this, 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 and this, everything that's wrong with that house. And if you don't agree and sign this contract, then you cannot buy the home. Are we allowed to say that? That's what I would like to have asked Carl Bone.
Yeah, we should have had a
the
attorney involved.
Yeah, definitely.
If someone else buys it. If we buy it, then Carl took care of that. Because if we get it as a park, we know what we're doing with it. We're tearing it down.
Why don't we wait until we, you know, until we see what happens here?
It'll be too late,
I think, Joe.
Yeah, we need to get Carl Bone involved, and we need to get him to find out in the law where we can duly say it must be torn down. If possible,
yes.
We need to do that.
Otherwise, didn't think that through when we canceled that special meeting.
That's why we need to contact him.
That question didn't come back
through. We did not cancel that special meeting. The chairman of the board canceled that special meeting without questioning, asking the
I've asked Carl Bone about tearing down these houses. He has not answered. It's fairly clear.
He would have been on the phone at that special meeting, Joe.
Right.
So now you got to go back again and try and get hold of him. You know what that's going to be like? Good luck.
You can ask them the question. You just ask the question. It's either he can answer it or not. And if he doesn't answer it, you don't have an answer. Period. If he doesn't answer it, you don't have an answer.
We pay him to give us answers.
Just let me know. I can get in touch with him. He answers my calls.
You can email the questions to Carl about what you're talking about. I don't see how you could force somebody to buy the house off of the city of Palm Bay to tear down the homes. And I know that's what we want. I want that too.
I think there is a way to do it because we are our district. We make our rules and our regulations.
Exactly.
I think there's a way.
Right. Special districts are different in that we should be able to make decisions that aren't made out there in the public.
Absolutely.
So can we do an email letter to Carl and have it a two-step thing? Number one, can we force another owner, buyer, to tear down the home? If the answer is yes, then that's the way we go. You have to have it done according to our deed restrictions. You have to have it get it out of here by so many days. If you don't put a new house on within whatever many days, then you got to tear out the driveway and you got to resod. Those are in the deed restrictions. So if the answer is yes to that, then we need the letter to the new owners that give them the timeline that they have to do it by. We decide that. That's what we need Carl to say. Yes, we can do that. And this is the dates that you have to do it by. If the answer is no, we cannot force them to tear it down, then what is our other alternative? What timeline do we give them? If they don't have to be tearing it down, we have to allow them to come into the park to be able to work on the home. I know Cherie says, and I agree, if your home isn't up to snuff, according to our deed restrictions and bylaws, ACC rules and whatever, if you have violations, then you're not going to get your sticker. So they don't get a real sticker. Let's say they get a temporary pass that's a 30-day or a 60-day pass that they're allowed to come and go to work on their home. And at the end of that time, they come to us and they say, we're done with the work, come inspect it. Cherie and whoever else makes those decisions, goes to the home and makes the decision whether it passes our violations or not. So yeah, it's really a two-step question.
A letter of intent is the appropriate thing, and then there has to be consequences. If they don't live up to the letter of intent, again, I think the attorney needs to get involved.
But I don't understand. The city of Palm Bay is the one auctioning this property off, and they're going to make their award by October 2nd. That award doesn't have any caveats to it.
No.
So what are you doing with this? What is this? Is this a caveat afterwards? Hello? I don't think so.
You should wait until you see what happens.
I think it's a great idea, but I think it should have been part of the condition before you put in your bid.
Right.
Because are these people that you got to blindside them?
Well, first of all, they can't get in to see the home, so they're buying them sight unseen.
That's
but
sight unseen is one thing, but that's it. They didn't know that they was going to come through with these two, with this, I call it caveat, that you're thinking you're going to get from Carl Bone regarding taking down the houses. They didn't buy it with that in mind.
No, except for one.
Didn't we send a letter that these needed to be torn down?
Say that again, Keith. I can't hear you.
Didn't we send them a letter to the city saying that these homes should be torn down or need to be torn down?
It went back and forth. We had several different communications.
They never put it with the bids.
No.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I want to know.
So what I think what we should do, we should act fast. We should get, like Cheryl said, get these questions out there to Carl Bone. Get this questions answered right now before the October 2nd. And hopefully when Palm Bay sells them, they can put this letter of intent or whatever we want to do with it to the people. Say, hey, you bought this. Now, these are part of the conditions on the buying. I'm just throwing stuff out there.
Didn't we come up with this question before about they're going to buy it from the city, but technically it doesn't go through until we approve of the purchase?
Yes. Yeah.
So when they come to us asking for permission, if we approve, that's when they're told this is what you have to do in order to get approved to buy the house. Right? Or not?
I agree with
not
you.
Not the way I understand.
Let's get it done before October 2nd.
Carl, we need Carl.
Yes.
I've had that meeting.
So what are we going to have Cherie, what are we going to ask Cherie to do for the fourth time? Because we change our minds every time we get together or in the middle, we cancel meetings or somebody gets them canceled. So
I'm agreeing what do we do? Said. I'm agreeing what you said.
I just think we need to let Cherie talk to Carl Bone and ask him, how do we proceed so we can have these homes removed before the owners can move into them? What's our procedure to follow?
Okay. So, Cherie, you feel comfortable asking Carl that two or three point question like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, just
thank you.
Just ask him what the procedure is to do, and if he says there is none, then we know the answer was no, we can't do it.
I have it written down. I was going to suggest this to the board, but I'll let you guys tell me instead.
I'm going to make a suggestion that, Cherie, you try to reach him on the phone now while we discuss the last part of this, our agenda.
Sure.
Maybe you could even get him on the phone now.
Yeah.
Let's try.
I have a public comment on the homes. Are we to that yet?
No, because we...
we're not voting on this. It's nothing to vote on.
But we still should have.
If you have public comments, you could still take public comments.
Right. Yeah, we'll do the public. Are we done with the trustee comments?
Why don't we do public comment while she tries to get the call on the phone?
Public comments then. Public comments on the homes. We had one there. I saw him. Where is he? Your name and your address. Nobody does it, but
Allison has a hand in.
Hello, Bob Addy, 1000 Vista Court. I don't believe, from what I understand from my years in business, that you can change what went out. If this limitations on who can purchase and that If it's not in the request that's been put out in the paper, you cannot change it once that hits the paper. You're stuck with that. If you're going to say, oh, you got to take those houses out when you buy them, if it's not stipulated before the bids come in, I don't think you can legally do it. And I just have a couple of other comments. If I was to buy one of those and come in and the city said it was condemned, then it's condemned. But I don't know, even as a special park district, you have the legal right and the knowledge to determine that that house is condemned. Whereas the city engineer and the building inspector are approved at doing that, you could wind up getting a suit backwards at you for saying after the fact that you bought a piece of land, it wasn't stipulated that you had to tear it down, but we think it's derelict, so you got to take it out. You're going to be in a quagmire of lawyers for the next 5 years over it. The suggestion that I might have is if the place can be fixed up to the standards that the park has for everybody in the park, not just these 8 or 9 houses, but the same standards for everybody. If the house is painted right, the right color, the trim is right, the skirt is right, I don't see how you could legally do anything other than to accept that person in. One other thing that I'm finding, we're in New Hampshire right now, and I'm trying to build a garage out back to put a couple of cars in. And what we're finding is all the lumber is being shipped to Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, where all the hurricanes have come in. Getting stock to do anything up here is horrific. You can't buy a truss. Maine Trusses, which supplied this area for years, is sending everything that they can run off the line down to Louisiana and Texas. So you're not going to be able to get stuff. If you're going to put limits of 60 days, 90 days, or whatever on these people, they're not going to be able to get materials to build. And the local person, I think it's Camelot Homes in Tilton, New Hampshire, about a 40-minute drive from here, is taking all of the mobiles that they have on stock and in their yard and packing them on trailers and shipping them south because of the hurricanes. And I don't think that anybody who comes in and is told that they have to take that house out, they're not going to be able to get another unit because I think everything is sold out for the next 6 months. So you got to really give some serious consideration. If you put somebody in a corner after they've gone and bought a piece of property at public bid, I think the park could be very much liable for lawsuits. And that's just my comment at this time.
Just to add to that, there was a lot that was not stipulated in that ad. And that was that that it's a 55 and over community. But they were told, or they're going to be told, that it's a deed restricted community, and they are going to be given the deed restrictions before they actually make final purchase.
Right, but do the deed restrictions allow you to write to just come in and tell somebody in the park, we don't like your trailer, it's not up to standard, you got to tear it out? I don't think that's legal.
No, that's absolutely. That is not in our deed restrictions. I just wanted clarification.
That would be a discriminatory practice, and now you get the feds in there, and now you've got a bigger problem.
Oh, yeah. We don't want to deal with the feds. God help us, no.
No.
We have to deal with each other. That's even worse.
I agree.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that while there's a lot that was not included in that ad, there was a lot that was not included, but the city does have a deed restrictions, and they are going to present that to the person that's awarded the, and they have to make a decision after that. Do they want to live in a 55 plus community or own property in it? They have to meet our guidelines according to our deed restrictions.
That's exactly what I was saying, that the current standards are such and such. If they meet those, how can you tell them to tear it out just because you want them torn out?
No, we do not have the right to tell them to do that. I don't believe so anyway.
I don't think so either. Thank you.
And in answer to your question about if, you know, they couldn't get a mobile home within 60 days or something, with those instances, I'm sure this board will take it into consideration and we will give them extensions.
Yes.
And that should probably be stipulated as part of the package.
Yep. Okay, we have anybody else?
Allison.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with Bob 100%. If you've ever been involved in a property auction, the information that you're given is what you are bidding on. These people do not know the condition of these houses. It wasn't stipulated in the ad that there are deed restrictions in a 55 and over community that you have to abide by our rules and regulations and inspections. That's the sticky point. So Bob, you're absolutely correct. And I do think that we're on a slippery slope here. If you think we're going to tell a person that bought a property in an auction what they have to do and what they can't do. That's all I have to say.
Yep, it's not going to be fun. Well, we'll see what happens.
That's why we need that thing from Carl Bone.
Hang on, it's going to be a bumpy ride.
I just want to read the last communication that I received from Joan. And this was September 17th. And it says, following the end of the 30-day public notice on October 2nd, city staff will open and review all offers to purchase city-owned properties within Holiday Park. We will evaluate official offers only. Official offers are those provided on an as-is FAR bar contract as indicated in the public notice published in Florida Today. As for individual buyers, my understanding from discussions with the city's attorney's office is this. Offers from individual buyers being entertained by the city that would be contacted to understand where they're at in the process of submitting their application to the board. If approved by the board, the city would present the offer and sale to city council for approval. Again, that's my understanding. All individual buyers who have contacted me have been informed that this is a deed restricted community and that they should conduct their due diligence and speak with the property manager for information on what restrictions exist as well as the required application. I believe that is the extent of our responsibility as a city. Any buyer or buyer's realtor should be expected to conduct their own due diligence before submitting an offer. And this is from Joan.
My question is the city telling any potential purchasers of the property that these mobile homes come without clear title?
Yes, it says in the ad.
It is illegal in the state of Florida.
It's in the ad. In the ad that they published in the Florida Today newspaper, it specifically tells them that it's their responsibility to apply for clear title.
Okay.
It specifically reads, Cindy, purchaser should understand and agree that additional action will be required to clear title to the mobile homes.
Correct.
That's in their ad.
Perfect. Okay.
And I believe that clear title would only affect them if they wanted to turn around and sell it. If they just want to move into it, they don't have to do a thing.
Right, but my concern was for quite a while, it was in the plans or in the works that potentially Holiday Park would purchase these properties and then turn around and sell them or knock them down. And that's just completely illegal without clear title. And we're just opening ourselves up for a major lawsuit
I contacted a real estate person about that, and she says when you sell real estate property, mobile home and land together, it is one unit. Yep. The title is on the land.
Right.
And if you tear that, you can haul that mobile home out without having title on that mobile home. Correct. Because it's sold as a unit. And the people who tear these mobile homes out know that. They don't care. They don't, you don't have to prove that you have title of that home. You need a title if you want to sell the home. The park knows they're not selling the home, because if we're able to get these homes, we're hauling them out of here. Then we can sell the land, because that is free and clear. But if someone buys this mobile home, land and home, and wants to move into it and lives there for 10 years, fixes it up, you know, fixes their violations, moves into it, lives there for 10 years, wants to sell it, ain't going to happen. That home's going to have to be torn down, because they are not going to have clear title.
What happens there is it's actually the responsibility of the family. If they heir it to their children or someone else, then you're just passing on another problem. That's if they right. don't get title insurance, and you can't get title insurance, of course, without clear title. So unless you tear it out and you know you're going to live there and you don't really care what happens to it when you're gone, you don't have to spend the money.
It's my understanding that if you want to let that mobile home stand, you must get a title for it. Must. There's no ifs, ands, or buts there.
Right.
That's correct. Joanne, if I can just, this is Carol Addy at 1000 Vista. I just reread that ad that's in there, and the city did do us a good deed. And there is a specific paragraph that says all lots are zoned residential mobile home and are located within the Port Malabar Holiday Park Mobile Park Recreation District, a deed restricted community. So that's part of the ad. And Cherie, to your point, it does say that all office have to be submitted on that FARBAR, which is the Florida Bar Association, a Board of Relatives Association, as is residential contract. So, I mean, I think some of the things are covered, but clearly the whole thing about if somebody doesn't live in the park, sees this in the Florida paper and decides to bid on it, and they win the bid, they're not going to know that the intention is to tear it down. So I think that's where it's going to get a little snarly.
Well, again, referring back to Joan's letter, and it says, as for individual buyers, my understanding from discussions with the city attorney's office is this. And it goes on to explain that they have to fill out an application and be approved from the park first and foremost. Then they will,
But isn't that application to be part of the park? Isn't that about them themselves, that they're, you know, upstanding citizens and blah blah blah, right?
Well, it is to make sure that they know that this is a 55 and older community.
Yeah.
And also, first and foremost, is the home has to be inspected and has to pass the criteria that we require. And none of them will. And as a result, they don't get a decal.
Next.
But isn't some of those homes that are there, I'm just playing the devil's advocate here. Some of the homes that are there, they may have some violations associated with them that could be cured, but not to the point that they're condemnable.
Who's in the...
Well, right. I think in a case like this, as we're discussing it, I think this is something that the board should be more involved in. I know what the criteria is because I do it all the time. So far as violations are concerned, painting, power washing, weeds in the gutters, letters on the homes, numbers, excuse me. So all of these things we have to take into consideration. Are we going to be that nitpicky on these homes? We don't have to be, because they've been derelict and neglected for so long. And again, it's a board decision, My opinion, just from phone calls and dealing with people, I would say 90% of the folks interested and that have put in bids are going to tear them out. There might be two or three that feel that they can go and rehab those. And again, I think that's a trustee decision, and it will be presented to the trustees. And again, with my recommendation, if they have a letter of intent and a time frame that they're going to do the repairs and rehabs, you know, like I said earlier, we don't want someone from New York or Pennsylvania, Illinois or whatever. Sure, I bought the house and yes, I'm going to rehab it in January or next February or March. I mean, you know, there really needs to be a timeline. And again, it's up to the board. That's all I have to say.
Did we get the lawyer on the phone?
I called and left him a message, Bob.
We should probably move on since we beat this.
Okay. So that's it. For
I had something to say, even though I didn't get called up. My hand has been raised. May I proceed?
Proceed.
Okay, I'm Andrea Allegrezza, 1102 Greenview Court. And my questions are, how much is it to haul a mobile home out? And this is just a different way of thinking. I'm just going to toss it out there and then I'll be done. Would it be possible to incentivize those that purchase ones without a title or those that are condemned? You know, somehow incentivize them to haul it out. And that's all I wanted to add. Thank you.
No, I don't see why, because
that was proposed a long time. That was proposed a long time ago, Andrea, many, many years ago. But I offhand, from what I remember, and I don't know how much it might have changed, but I think you're looking at $2,500 plus to haul off a mobile.
You nailed it. It's about $2,500, some of the larger ones. Nothing.
I don't think you're going to get less than $2,500 to take off anyone.
Some of them are 20. I mean, excuse me. Some of them are 2,000. Some of them are 21. Everything though is under 3,000, but the midline is 2,500, Joanne. I have the
okay, proposal. Right.
Well, we could vote on that. We could vote on, we'll pay for the removal of these homes. We could put that in the stipulation.
Let's think that one over.
Let's
digest that. We've been at this for two
okay,
hours.
Right.
Let's move on, because it's almost time for me to dye my hair again.
Okay.
And I have Kathy staying here.
Let's get on with it. We got one more thing to go. I don't think we have to vote on anything here.
All right. Okay.
Trees. Latrice. Okay. Let's go. Trees.
The next person, please.
Trees.
I have the two bids. I didn't get the third. It's like pulling teeth with these people. I don't understand it. This is a big job. Anyway, I'm waiting for that third bid.
Who was it from?
Pardon? It was from... I have one from Alpine, as you can see. And I had one from...
Bombay Tree.
Bombay Trees. And now Bombay Express, I believe, is the name of the other...
Bombay Express.
I believe it's that, but I think I was waiting to get a bid from U.S. Lawns and also from Flawless as well, thinking that because they're in here already, they would give us a good price.
Well, I have questions on these. They're so extreme. Did you send out a request for proposal on these? Because Palm Bay Tree seems to be quoting on doing tree removal, trimming up the palm trees, the Australian pines. And then we've got Alpine. And I know what we discussed with him, and that was only clearing the oaks. So how come they're so diverse?
Wow.
Joanne, I've given them all the information and criteria that we had discussed. The other tree service is Tree Service Express Inc., ISA. I believe they quoted me verbally, which I needed in writing, is one was $20,000, the other one was $18,000. And then, of course, you have $9,100 for Alpine And I believe you, Flawless came in, I think at 14, but I'm trying to get them all in writing, get them in the form of, like Bob did. Yep. And I even asked him if I could.
That's why you need a request for proposal.
I have Bob's. Okay. I was going to.
No, Cherie. I'm sorry. Bob is a great asset to this board. You are our district manager. We've gone through this before, Cherie. A request for proposal is to go out. You're the one that makes that up.
No, Joanne, I understand this. I'm working together. We're working as a team. Okay?
Oh, no.
I bounce things off of Bob, and he bounces things off of me.
Do your job. I'm sorry, but that's not happening here.
I'm not going to
argue with you. It's not happening, and it hasn't been.
I'm not arguing with you. I am doing my job, okay? I'm sorry that I can't force these people to do things as quickly as you'd like them to be done.
It's not quickly. It's efficiently. Why would we have two different bids like this if they had a request for proposal? Where is their request for proposal?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Can I see it?
200.
Let me hold it up.
I don't have it. I told you that.
No.
And I was working.
No, you just told me now.
I don't. I have the two bids. I'm waiting for the other. And then I was going to get the other form.
The rest of the trustees can talk about it because I'm done with it.
Let's table this. We don't have three bids. Why are we getting all worked up?
Let's table it.
I'm just trying to get this done and do my job.
Okay, that's enough.
Enough opposition out there.
Right. Now let's just table it then. And
until we get three bids.
We need the third bid. We need the third bid. So let's go to public comments and let's try to get done with this meeting, please. Do we have any public comments, please?
One second. Let me look.
Yeah.
I see two.
All right, let's get out two public comments.
I see Carol and Adley, Allison.
Okay. Can you turn them on, please?
Okay. Allison, I don't understand why you're not speaking. Can you not hear me?
Nope, I'm good. I'm just waiting for the okay.
Right, go ahead.
Regarding the RFPs, this was discussed several meetings ago, and all of our projects need to have RFPs so everybody's bidding on the same thing. That's why Bob did the lawn crew. So, Cherie, you need to get RFPs established on every single project, presented to the board with a cost, so they can evaluate it and they can vote on it. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Allison.
Thank you.
Okay, now I have Carol Addy.
Thank you. Carol Addy, 1000 Vista Court. Trustees, not that you don't have enough to be thinking about now, but I just wonder if you couldn't consider putting on your agenda, what will be the plan of the park if, unfortunately, we go into a phase two of this COVID, given what the World Health Organization is saying now in the countries in Europe that are shutting down, and with the increase that we're seeing here in the U.S., it might be a good time to develop a plan should it hit again so that we're not caught having to deal with it on the spot, so to speak. That's just a suggestion.
I think as far as the park, we're staying closed for now. I mean, the governor has opened up Florida just about 100%. All the bars, 100%, gyms, 100%, theaters, 100%. So Florida is pretty much wide open. So, and we can do what we want. And I think we have to be an elderly community. We have to be extra careful. And I'm going to say we got to wear a mask. I don't know about dances and things like that. I just don't see that happening this year. No, that's how I want to proceed. I don't think you should do those functions with all those people.
But Joe, that's as it relates to the park activities. But is there given the fact that okay, let me just say a different way. What is the park's plan from a fiduciary responsibility for the employees that you have? What are you going to do if this happens now and you have to, you're not doing anything, all the fixing that needs to be fixed is done, and then this hits? What's your plan with your staff? What's the contractors with as far as the lawn people? What are you going to do? Just what is the plan rather than it being reactionary, which is what we all had to do when we got hit with COVID the first time?
Well, you know, I know that the lawn companies, the company we're dealing with now, they're going to get their people out there and they're going to cut the lawns. Hopefully they don't get infected with COVID. I would say to the residents, obviously these young people, don't go hanging around them and talking to them. They could be asymptomatic. You don't know.
Do they wear masks?
Right. Well, I don't know if they wear masks on those machines. It's 100, over 100 degrees out there. I don't think they do.
No.
But that's kind of really hot.
But also another thing to consider too, Joe, is depending upon where this all falls down after October, with the properties that you have, if contractors can't come in and take things out and put new ones in or repair the ones that you agree that can be repaired, you know, what's rather than having to be reactionary to it, is there worth the time to kind of take a look at each one of these nuggets and figure out what the right plan is for each one of them?
Now, we're not banning anybody. We're not banning people from the park. People can still come in the park. We have visitors coming in. Sometimes they bring in a lot of children that come into the pool. I know, Beverly, you had some concerns about all the kids coming to the pool. So, I mean, we're going to have to keep an eye on it, and we can change if we feel. If there's like 50 kids at the pool here, I don't know. I mean, I think we might have to control that. We might have to make a decision like, no, we can't have that many people, especially young children, at the pool. I mean, we're going to have to look at it. We can't just ignore it, you know, make believe it ain't there. It is there. And we just have to keep, right now I'm telling Beverly to keep the kids in the far pool and have the adults in the heated pool, the one towards us, just to keep them separated. You know, that's how I want her to handle it right now. I mean, the board could decide whatever they want to do, but I think we have to be careful whatever we do.
But from fiduciary responsibility, you're asking your residents to pay $2,000 a year, and for that they're presumed to get, you know, 10 things, whatever, just whatever they are. Well,
they get things.
They're not going to get
right.
That means they're not going to get 10 things. So
probably not.
How are you going to deal with that from a fiduciary responsibility?
Well, I mean, the way we could have done it, if, you know, I don't believe that we need to be fully staffed, that, you know, because we're not doing anything. But right now we're fully staffed. So if we weren't fully staffed, then we could save some money. Maybe we could, the way we could address that is you could maybe lower your dues. I don't know how long this is going to last. Nobody knows.
Yeah, I'm not asking for you to be reactionary to it. I was just suggesting maybe there's a longer range look at this from the trustees' perspective.
A longer range, the looking out like a year from now? Obviously, even if you have a vaccine and it's, say if it's 50%, I get a vaccine. You have COVID, and you know we happen to go to Valentine's dance, and it works 50%. So I still have a 50% chance of getting it from you. Just because the vaccine works at 50% doesn't mean I'm not going to get it and die. I still can get it. If you get a vaccine around 70 to 90%, obviously the chances are way lower that, you know, I'm going to get it from you, because I have a 70 to 80% chance of not getting it. But you're asymptomatic and you're a spreader, you know. I mean, those are the things you have to think about. And then if you want to take the chance and just open up the park, you know, and I don't think we should do that. You have that, for example, in the pool days, during, you know, when everyone's back during the winter, you probably have 30, 40 people in the pool room, no masks, closed environment.
They have to wear masks.
Well, they're not.
Well, someone needs to speak to them because those are the rules right now. If you're in the clubhouse,
I did.
I went in the room and I told them all, they pulled their masks out of their pockets and they put them on. And I stayed. This was Thursday around 7 o'clock. And I stayed there until they all had their masks on. I took a picture. I can't stay with them all night.
No.
But you know what? This is not how we all them. And eventually what's going to happen is the building is going to be shut down.
Right. That's what's going to happen.
That's what I was going to say. If someone walks into that room and there is not a mask, the lights go off, the doors get locked, they're out of there. Everybody needs to know. Just because the state of Florida is being stupid and letting everybody go into bars and have parties and do what they want to do, we don't have to do that as a park.
The thing is,
I can't babysit. They put you cannot,
and you shouldn't have to. What I'm saying is, you see it one time, and it's not you, Cherie. It's anybody. Anybody that walks in. If I walk into that card room or that pool room when I get back, and someone is in there without a mask, I'm going to tell them, this place is closed. You've just broken the rules. You've ruined it for everybody.
I'm not afraid to say that to somebody. Why would you punish everybody for one or two people?
Because it has to be done.
Because that's how
it has to be done until they learn how.
This is right.
We did it with the pool.
I didn't want it to happen then either. I wasn't even going to be here. And I'm like, you're going to close a pool? But we did until we established rules.
Okay, but there's 30 people in there and two people have their masks off. You're going to punish 28 for two?
Yeah.
I'd tell the two to leave.
Don't tell the two to leave.
No. Now you have to have a policy.
It is a policy, and they're not abiding by it, so those two leave. There's 28 people that are abiding by your policy.
Well, that could be the way it is, but she said nobody had masks on.
Well, then that's a good idea. But if 28 people have their masks on and two don't, why close it? Those two people, you're abiding by the rules.
You're out of here. You shouldn't be let in the room if you don't have your mask on.
Excuse me. There's not nearly 24 people in that room every night. I go to the pool every evening. And I walk by that door, and there may be 10 at the most, 10, 12 guys. And if you want me to, and when I'm checking out of the pool every night, I can go and check in that door and make sure everybody has their mask on. If they don't, I will ask them to leave.
Please. Are we going to keep policing the area?
Yes.
I'm the everyday dog.
Oh, we're freaking adults.
Who break rules.
Right. This is for our safety, living here.
I know.
You're right, Cherie. You should not have to babysit us. Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Yep, I agree.
All right,
Bob, but we should babysit ourselves.
Yes. If I'm in that room playing pool and there's two people with their masks off, hey, come on, abide by the rules. Put your mask on. Protect me.
Yeah. Right. How about a simple sign?
Wait a minute. That was simple. All this stuff. Here's my question.
We have the signs.
Government agency.
I have 10 signs in the billiards room.
Okay. We have the signs. We're good.
10 and two on the front, one on the front door, and 10 in on the walls everywhere.
You know, for years we've had no shirt, no shoes, no service.
No service.
Why don't we just add no shirt, no shoes, no mask, no service, no use?
Right.
Stay out. They understand.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. We are telling everybody we are a government agency. That's how we're selling our park. You guys say we are a government agency. One of the things that the governor of this state specifically stated was that anything that is a government agency is now to be opened up. You're supposed to have your meetings in the house and open to the public, and it says right in his rules, you cannot be fined anymore for not wearing a mask. So tell me, you're not going to be able to play this both ways and say you're a government agency when you want it to be a government agency, and when you don't want it to be a government agency, say, oh, we're going to not do it that way. I don't think you have a choice.
Are cities allowed in Florida to set their own rules? Because I know the county of Palm Bay is doing things differently than what the governor is saying. So if there's, if he's saying we're opening it up, but the counties, the cities, districts, whatever, can say, well, it may be open there, but we're not opening here. I think we're allowed to do that. I think we can be more restrictive.
And understand also that the governor of Florida, even though he's opening everything up, there are also precautions that he's saying. Anyone 65 years and older, you want to maintain those precautions. So we fall under that elderly category where we have to take precautions.
Right. That's what we'll do. That's what we'll continue to do.
We will end up with a pandemic.
Can I interrupt everybody for a minute? I have Carl Bone on the line. You guys want to briefly bring up quick?
Okay, who's on the phone? Who's got the question? Go ahead.
Carl, can you hear?
I can barely hear. I can hear you, Sheree.
The question, please.
Okay, I'm turning up the volume. You guys?
Okay, not too much.
A stack of paper.
Okay, somebody.
Okay, who wants to ask the question? Go ahead.
I'll ask because I'm the one that laid it out first.
Go, Cheryl.
Carl, this is Cheryl Moore. I'm a trustee. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We are discussing about the sale of the homes, which obviously you are very involved in the park purchasing them. We failed to get clarification from you about what if someone else, the city is deciding someone else can buy the property instead of the park. Our question was, as you know, we would like the homes torn down. So the first question is, if someone else is going to buy the home, can we force them to tear out the home? That's part A. And if it's yes, then we want a letter to tell them that's what we expect to have happen within a certain timeline. If the answer is no, then we need some kind of a contract that states timelines for the violations that are listed for each home, that they be cured within a certain amount of time. And that was our question as I perceived it to you, if someone else were to purchase the homes. What are our options? Hello?
Take it away, Carl. Let's go.
Is Sheree muted, though? Can we not hear because of that?
Yeah, she's muted.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
There she is.
Okay, Carl. Can you hear him?
No, can't hear him.
Say something, Carl.
Can you hear me?
No. Okay, go ahead. Can hear you now.
Okay. Short answer is we cannot force them to remove the home. What we have to do is, if there's violations on the property and with respect to the homes, then we need to send them the appropriate notice of violations and remedies to cure within the time frames provided for in the declaration.
As within the deeds. Okay.
Yes. So if the house is, let's just say, falling apart from the outside, you send them a notice of violation, you cure it, or you're going to potentially face, future enforcement actions by the park, whatever we chose to do at that point.
Okay. There's our answer.
There's our answer.
So there it is.
That's what we needed, Carl. Thank you.
Trustees, is there anything else?
Any other questions to Carl by the trustees?
Okay, Carl, I believe that's it. Hold on. Carl's got something else to say. Go ahead.
No charge.
Hey, I like them words. Speak it to my ears.
Thank you, Carl.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you.
Okay, so we got the answers to our questions. We got to wait till whatever, around October 10th, until they make the decisions, and then we go from there. And that's it. It's not real complicated. So the last thing, I guess we were done with the public comments?
I guess so.
Okay, we're done with public. So we're at the trustees' comments. We got any of them?
Yeah, I have one, please.
Go ahead.
On the RFPs, this is for future use.
Yep.
When I decided that I wasn't going to accept their contract but write our RFP, what I did is I had it sent to every board member for clarification or if they needed me to correct something. And I'll tell you, I am so glad I did that. The reason why, Cheryl Moore helped me with a couple of that I overlooked. And I corrected them, and then when the next RFP went out, it was a really good RFP. So thank you, Cheryl, for helping me with that. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay.
You're welcome.
I don't know if I'm going to bring this up. I don't know if it's a rumor or what, but did you sign the 9 Farber contracts?
No, I did.
Why didn't you, Joe?
Well,
can I ask?
I voted against. I just don't think it's a wise idea to get into this real estate thing. I could be wrong. I hope I am wrong.
Okay.
I voted no on buying.
No matter if you vote no or yes, when the board unanimously voted yes, I think that's your responsibility to represent us by signing that, no matter what your vote is.
I don't know about that, but
you know, I do know about that.
Where does it say that?
When the board makes a decision, every board member will go along with that decision.
No, not if a board member doesn't.
If your board member doesn't agree, like if you don't agree with something, you're going to say I agree now.
Yeah. Well, if the board votes,
you're going to follow what we said to do.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
That's what he's saying. You don't agree to it, but is it your responsibility as chairman? You are the person that's supposed to be signing documents for the trustee.
Absolutely. Now, just because you don't agree with it doesn't mean I'm not going to sign it. Like I said, I've been overridden when I was on the board before. I didn't agree with things, but once the board said that this is the way we're going to do it, I said, okay, no problem. That's the way I'm going to do it from now on.
That's fine.
Right.
If they want me to, sign them.
It's too late. I signed
done now.
I just wanted to bring that for future use because you have to, if we agree, if everybody says and you don't, you have to go and with us. You don't have to agree with it, but you have to go along with it.
Okay. All right. I had.
At least say you got to wear a mask in the clubhouse. You may not agree, but you better have one on.
I got it on. What are you talking about? I got it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Sorry about that, but, well, okay, won't happen again.
All right.
Joanne.
Any more questions?
You have something.
Joanne, you had a question?
No, I was going to let everyone know. I was asked to sign that, and I did. I wasn't happy about it, but I signed it as Board of Trustee, First Vice Chair. I made sure it wasn't just my name. I put my title to it as well as a representative of the Board of Trustees from Holiday Park. But you're absolutely right. Joe was the one that should have signed that.
Yep. I just wanted to bring it up.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to bring this up now too. Joe, are you continuing to chair these meetings past today's?
I don't know. Well, we plan on closing on the house October 6th. And so we'll be basically out at the hotel.
So what does that mean, Joe?
It would be difficult for me to chair the meeting. So if you could, I would appreciate it.
If that's the case, then you need to resign from the board, just like everybody else does. and we take it from there.
Okay, if you look at the special district's handbook that the state of Florida put out, is in there, it says it is a, you can be on the board if you are a resident of the special district registered with the supervisor of elections of a county in which the special district lands are located. So you must be a resident of the special district.
Carl Bone also gave us a very explicit explanation. If you have that, I don't know if you have it, Bob. We all
I don't know, but I looked at the special district's handbook, which is the state of Florida.
Lay it down. Tell them that they know.
But I do have a lease, you know, at my dad's, so I'm still in the district technically.
What would your driver's license say?
It would say the address here.
Once you move, you're going to keep the address here on your driver's license?
Can't do that.
Yeah, I'm not going to change it to his address. When I move out of the area, then I would resign if that's what you want me to do.
That's my statement. Your driver's license says where you reside.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, if it's a big thing, just go ahead and vote on it, and then I'll resign.
We're not voting on anything. Nope. You have to take it from here. You do what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just saying, I probably won't be. It'd be difficult for me to make all the meetings because I will be busy. We're in the middle of a move, you know, packing and doing all that. So, but
Yeah, I guess you can.
So let me think it over. If you want, you know, if it's better for the board thinks it's better for the. I want to do whatever's better for the park. That's all.
And that's exactly all we ask of you.
So if you think it's better for the park that I don't be at the board, then that's what I'll do.
I'm not saying that.
No, I'm just saying if the board thinks that, then I'll put in the resignation. I guess. That's it. You know, that's. I thought I could miss three meetings though. You set those things up for people to go up north. Three regular
meetings. You don't have to miss any meetings now with Zoom, Joe. But you need to go by whatever the deed restrictions say. If you're not going to be a legal resident within the district, then you can't be a trustee. If you feel you're a legal resident here until you move wherever you're moving and you're going to use this address until that happens, then you can stay. But once you leave,
I am a legal address at my dad's house, and that'll actually be, I think he's selling it, so, but he's not selling it to 2021, so I'd be legally to April of 2021, but we plan on leaving here probably end of November, beginning of December. That's when we plan on moving, so.
Okay. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, remember what I said. Is a resident. You're a resident until you leave.
Right. Okay. Right. So I'm a resident. I'll be living in hotels. So I might go stay at my dad's a few days, but we don't really like it over there. So,
isn't it once you sell your house is sold?
Yes.
Once you sell your house, you're not a resident here anymore.
Yeah, I am. I got a lease at my dad's. I'm a resident.
What do you mean by a lease? You don't mean a lease, do you?
Actually, back in the old days when they were really super strict, they had, before I could even go into my dad's house, you guys, the board, you might have been on it then, made my father sign a lease, a legal lease with you guys, the park. I have a copy of it.
So he's a resident.
A lease is for a renter, though.
I don't understand what that means. It's for a renter. They treated me, the board of trustees in Holiday Park treated me, the son, they didn't treat me too well, let's put it this way. They made me sign a lease agreement with my own father, okay? I have that.
Did you live with him?
That was requested by the board of trustees, you guys, which I disagreed with, my dad.
Did you live there all the time?
Yeah. No, we lived there for a while. We lived there until our house was put in. Okay. But they required us to have a lease with my dad. And that's
that lease has got to be broken now. Because you've had a home in here.
Yeah, the lease is inactive once you moved into your own house.
No, I don't understand that at all.
That's not an active lease at all.
Sorry, Joe.
Well, it's all this way. When you produce your driver's license tells you exactly where you reside. How many days, what does the Department of Transportation give you? What, 10 days? Once you sell your property and move into another property, give you 10 days to turn that over into your new resident. So, like I read here, it says is a resident of a special district. So you must be a resident.
I do have an answer. I don't think I need to tell everybody over the internet my business, which you're saying. I do have another address outside of this park. I have another address. Why do I need to tell you guys all my business?
You don't need to tell us. You have an address outside the park. When your house closes, you have to resign as a trustee. That's period. That's just the way it is. Okay. You have an address outside the park. Our deed restrictions say that. Why are we talking about this?
End of discussion.
Whatever.
Okay. I have a comment. We need to appoint an assistant secretary, apparently, because since I wasn't here, poor Cindy didn't get sworn in at the beginning of the meeting the way she should have been. I feel bad about that.
I have your notes, Cheryl, and I'll contact you.
Thank you.
I think
thank
Cindy
you, Joanne.
A great one.
So I just an idea, because what happens if I can't make another meeting? I mean, we've got to have a backup plan.
Well, we also are going to need now an assistant treasurer, and you better figure out how many people are qualified to sign checks.
Cindy would make a great assistant.
Secretary/treasurer.
Absolutely. Get her in.
Okay, just wanted to throw that out there. We need to do that at the next meeting.
That should be on the agenda for next meeting.
Get her in both feet.
That's the way I happen to get what I'm doing as assistant, and then he went and resigned on me.
We had an address.
Well, they're not going to count.
No, whatever.
So we're ready to adjourn then? My last adjournment, my final adjournment.
I make a motion we adjourn.
Wait, Marcia has something.
Oh, go ahead. Marcia and Cindy, you have a comment too?
She's
Marcia
moved.
Shearer?
Who was it? Marcia
Shearer?
Yes, thank you.
Up and down.
Oh.
Okay, go ahead.
So, as representative.
Can't hear you.
You muted yourself.
Yeah, we can't hear you.
Lori, do you need to unmute her first?
Oh, let me look. She unmuted herself.
There you go.
There you go.
So as a representative of HPPOA, are you still remaining closed even though the governor opened everything? What is the status? I need to know for planning for HPPOA. Do we need to stay closed until January of 2021?
Yes.
Right now,
weren't we closed until April, the end of April? Didn't we make that decision already?
Somewhere.
Currently, yes.
They did make that decision.
I feel we should keep it like that until things get better. I mean, I don't think we should continue to open things up. What do you feel, Marcia?
No, so I'm asking right now, currently, since he just opened it yesterday, should we just keep it closed until January of 2021?
Absolutely.
And there.
Yes. Personally, I think we absolutely should, because I have a feeling within the next 3 to 4 weeks, you're going to see a huge change again in Florida. That's my own personal opinion. I don't have anything scientific to back that up. That's my own personal feeling.
I feel the same.
I agree.
So I'm asking the board members, because I need backup because it's a big decision to make. So I happen to agree that we wait till January and then see what happens after the opening and then go from there.
Yeah, I personally, if people come back home to Holiday Park, and if they want to do any outdoor activities such as shuffleboard, bocce, horseshoes, cornhole, if they want to do that on their own, with their own private group, with their own personal hygiene involved with that, that's up to them. But it is not an HPPOA activity.
All right. My board happens to agree with that. So I wanted to be able to state that unequivocally with the trustees. So
a very big
the board supports you, Marcia.
I thought we were closed till April.
I have a little question with that. So what we're basically saying, we're closing down inside activities unless you have a mask. But that's all your personal. If you're outside, it's your own hygiene, and you don't need a mask, or
inside.
Close it down too if nobody has a mask.
Inside, we have never changed it. If you were doing any inside activity, you were always required to wear a mask, and that's still the same. That has not changed.
No,
outside, no. As I said, if people want to do it on their own, they can make their own personal decisions. I think everyone should wear a mask. I think it's for the protection of them and the community, your fellow neighbors, your friends, whatever. If you have a conscience and you have a, then you have a moral obligation to do what's requested of you.
Okay, I just want clarification so everybody kind of understands.
That's it.
Is that question for Marcia?
Marcia's
now, Marcia? We are in total agreement with that. I know we're being pressured, but so we will submit. I mean, if the trustees agree with this, I will come on the first meeting of every month and state what we're doing and what we're not doing and our financials and stuff like that at your meeting, if I can be on the agenda for your meeting.
That's perfectly fine. We'll get you on the agenda at every regular meeting. The first, which is the second
Monday
of every month.
Okay. And then, so I will state our budget, our financials, and that no activities are going on.
And things might change. And that's why it's a good thing for you to be on every month. Who knows what's going to happen? We don't all know. We can't, we're not playing God or whoever. So let's just do it every month.
Been wrestling with this with, as far as the HPPOA board.
Yes.
So that's what I'm stating now, is that I will be on your meeting agenda every month, and I'll have a treasurer's report and an activity report, period. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Joe?
Yeah.
I have a question for Marcia. I thought we closed everything down till April of 21.
We did.
But
talking about January, February, whatever. I thought that decision was already made, that we canceled bands and we canceled this and that. That was all wiped out. I thought we were looking for September of 21 to see if we're going to revive any of these things.
April of 2021.
Wasn't that just closing down any organized activity that the office or HPPOA did? Wasn't that in April? The other thing would be people doing things on their own.
Right.
But we can't close that down.
Nobody said we would.
Okay. Can I speak?
Revisit it. Right. Why don't you just do that?
Go ahead, Marcia.
All right. Thank you. So we did close everything down. According to last year's mandates. However, the governor opened everything up, so this is why I'm here today, because I needed to find out what the trustees were willing to do. So now I am suggesting that we wait until January of 2021 to decide things, because if things don't get worse, with the governor opening everything up, we may be okay. But if we're not,
we can certainly revisit that in January. Okay. Absolutely.
Correct.
That's why I think of having her come on each month would be good. We could do it on a month-to-month basis. It'd be a real quick thing. And, you know, as I said, none of us have a crystal ball into the future, but.
Exactly. And I'm also stating, I think, now I didn't get a vote, so maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to make an executive decision. We are not going to do membership this year. Okay. This is an extraordinary year, unsurpassed by any other year. And I just love that I'm the president of HPPO for this. But we are not going to host membership this year. Everything is, if it gets opened up, it is a price across the board for everybody.
I think that's a wise decision, Marcia, only because it means it's too involved. It's people coming either into or being close near or having to go to their home to collect money. You don't need it this year because we're not going to be expending money. So I think exactly. That was a very smart decision. Yay for Marcia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yay!
Executive decision made, Marcia. I think that was smart.
All right. Thank you.
So can we adjourn now?
Only if you have a motion.
Make a motion then. Make a motion.
So moved.
Okay. adjourning. Yes. All those in favor say aye.
Who made the second? Aye. I'm sorry. Did you take it? Keith. Who made it? Bob Shortledge?
No,
Keith.
Okay.
I don't care.
Who?
Keith.
I'm sorry. I thought you said Steve. And no, I wanted to meet him.
All those who don't want to adjourn say no. There's Annie.
God.
See you guys later.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Thank you. Good to see you.
Ciao.
Good to see you, everybody.